Houston, the pre-launch checklist is complete, and we are ready to go for liftoff.
It's Friday!
Yes, it is. It is Friday on the front porch, and yes, this program is live. This is The Horn. Head on .live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes if you are so inclined to run over there and maybe click on chat room and become part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. We're a half hour getting started for this Friday on the front porch. Hi, I'm Robin, because it's been a very hairy couple of days. Oh, my Jesus, it's been a very hairy couple of days. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'll get to that in a second, but if you do pop on over to the chat room, well, you know what? Let me see here, because there were issues. I just now finished getting the rig set up for a variety of reasons that will become, I hope, somewhat obvious along the way. But yeah, if you pop over to the chat room, there's a real merry band in there. You'll be greeted by Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry and Whitestone 22 and capably moderated by longtime inveterate indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has again chosen not to fold space and is in fact remaining Sparky and not Man Cave. Okay, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for letting me know 999. That's our secret horn code for the to let me know that all the packets are passing and the streams are streaming and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we have thanks to give out to the people who helped keep this program on the air and have for so very long. And it is deeply appreciated. Thanks very much. And damn it, come on. Can't type. But at any rate, thanks go out on this fifth day of November 2021 to our subscribers for the fifth, the fourth, and no, we were on the air for the third, so the fifth. So thank you to Bernice, Betty Boop. Thank you very kindly to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you, Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you, Roberto. Thank you to our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. Thanks so much to Thomas and to David and to Paul. Thank you to Max for jumping in. Thank you so kindly. And thanks as well to each and every one of you who, via Patreon, PayPal, subscriptions, a la carte contributions, what have you, thank you one and all for helping to keep this program on the air. So, that having been said, I'm kind of hard-pressed on how to set the fundraising goal for this particular time. Let's see, based on what we did on Wednesday, we were at about $800 to go for the week, but next week, and this is the program note part of the program, this next week is why I'm down here, why we are down here, and why, why there won't be any broadcast next week. And by that, I mean next week is my surgery. And with that in mind, by the way, program note, I'm going to try to go on Monday. One last broadcast before you know, they give me an 8-hour nap and I wake up in an entirely different sort of reality. Is that a fair way to put it?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so grateful to you, dear, for being willing to care for me. I do appreciate it.
We got this.
We almost didn't got this.
We almost didn't got this.
Yesterday, oh my God, yesterday. So we left because the whole idea of going down to the shore for a couple of days was to just put us both in our little happy place, in our little, letting go now, letting go. And it worked, and it was wonderful. And we left yesterday. Coming up here, I'd already made reservations, or as an old friend of mine who is no longer with us put it, we had made
what?
Preservations. We'd made preservations for somewhere to live while I'm in the hospital and while I recuperate. And then we got there. Oh my God, Becky! You want to join in and talk about what a lovely place it was, dear?
No, I don't. I'm still not over it.
I'm not either. It was a suburban extended stay suites through Choice Hotels, because I've got the Choice app and I've got Choice points, and Jesus, I'm an adamantium level member or whatever, and so I thought, okay, we'll do that, and the price was right, and then we saw it. We got here. I was trying to get on up the road in time to get the program on the air, but we got here about 4 o'clock and got checked in. And I don't know, Amityville Horror comes to mind.
There was blood on the floor.
There was literally blood on the bathroom floor. There were dead cockroaches. Okay, I'm just ruining dinner in, let's see, ruining dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone for this one. There was blood on the bathroom floor, mold everywhere. It looked like there had been, I don't know, the cockroach battle of the bulge with little cockroach corpses all over the kitchen. The stove had not been cleaned since Edison was a baby. Ben Franklin discovering electricity, the stove hadn't been cleaned in that long. It was supposed to be a fully stocked kitchen. There were two plastic plates, one spoon, one fork, two spoons, one butter knife, and under the way underneath in one of the counters was a couple of skillets that, frankly, I would not have heated up a Gainsburger in. Oh, it was bad. It was so bad. And on top of it all, when we walked in, it was like, wow, somebody's really been working the tart burner in here, because it had that sort of vanilla pumpkin spice thing going on. But after I exited and entered a couple of times, I realized why that was in there. And it was because the entire place smelled of dog urine. And then upon first...
Are you sure it was dog?
Yes, I'm absolutely positive. It was dog urine. Okay. It wasn't cat, because they didn't, their pet-friendly policy.
More like people.
No, it was dog, because when the light was just right coming into the room, you could see the big discolored stain on the carpet where Bowser had lost it, standing waiting for his master or mistress to pretty please take them out and walk them. Or maybe just got left there all day. I don't know. But it was
bad.
Oh, it was bad. So, and then there was the, then there were the rules for the property, which sent.
No.
Yeah. Oh, do you have them, dear?
Oh.
So, Agnes saved the rules of the property. Over here is the fun stuff.
Oh, no, that's not the best. Hold on. God, I wish I wasn't blind.
The blind leading the blind, get it?
It was a stressful day in Mount Hobie gone.
Oh, it was not Mount Hobie gone. It was Mount Woe.
It was like Hobie gone, because I'm pretty sure there was some transactional business going on in that place.
I thought it was Tartarus myself, but, you know. It was the one thing here telling you that if management came in at any time, which
Management reserves the right to enter at any time, whether you're there or not, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But that was the part that lit her up.
No, wait.
Guests staying in rooms deemed to be unsanitary by management will have 24 hours to remedy the situation or will be asked to leave. Guests will be charged a minimum of $25 for services needed to be returned the room to guest readiness standards. My butt! What kind of guest readiness standards do they have?
Apparently, they don't think much of their guests let's go to some of my favorite portions.
You go right ahead.
Here you go. Let's see. To ensure a positive guest experience for everyone, please be advised of the following hotel rules. Any of the following occurrences by you, other registered or non-registered room occupants, or your invitees may result in the immediate termination of your stay. And I like to just as I read it, I couldn't help thinking about the lawyer who drafted this crap. And the management who came to him and said, listen, we've got to have our disclaimers here, and here are some of the problems we hope to avoid. Being involved in any police matter, unless the matter arises through no fault of your own or due to circumstances beyond your control. Possessing or using any illegal substances, including drugs. It's the fact that they had to put in there, including drugs. I'm just wondering what other, I don't know. Were they used to having Trump voters live there who were drinking aquarium cleaner or bleach and is that an illegal substance? I don't know. Possessing an unauthorized weapon or firearm, including any concealed or open carry weapons, regardless of license. And then there's an addendum that says, cops are okay. Violating the hotel's pet policy. Service animals under the ADA, as amended, are accepted, but must be disclosed upon entering the property to eliminate confusion with staff and other guests, and a separate document must be acknowledged.
They did say I was not your service animal.
I don't think that was a service animal who was kind of left there to pee by the door. Tampering with or removing window stops, smoke detectors, and other safety measures. You know, that's for when you're... No, you do that, honey. You do that when you're cooking your bathtub meth. And I'm not sure that might have been one of the smells that was getting covered up. I've been in... Oh, God. Let's see. What else can you not do? Leaving room or common area windows or doors unlocked or open. Okay, I understand that. Failure of invitee to enter through the lobby entrance or otherwise to fail to follow these guest rules. An invitee's violation of these guest rules may result in both the invitee and guest being asked to leave the property. Asked, not told, because they're nice. Soliciting or loitering of any kind anywhere on the property. That's another word for...
squatting.
Hooking. Oh. Hooking. Yeah. Soliciting or loitering. Yeah. Hey, sailor.
Let's
Birmingham's landlocked,
way.
But you know, never mind. Then there's consuming alcoholic beverages anywhere on the property outside of your room. You cannot take your 40 out and hang out by your car and have a beer while you're washing your ride.
I like this. Tobacco smoking or vaping is permitted only in designated areas on the property. Violation of our smoking policy will be met with a charge of $250. Well, smoking would be an improvement on that property. But here's the point. This company is allowing people
think about the conversation that went on with the lawyers. What kind of problems? So then we get down to this. Being outside your room without being fully clothed, including shirt and shoes.
I have nothing.
It doesn't take long to figure out what was going on there. Well, then there's grilling, barbecuing, or creating fire hazards on premises.
That place was a fire hazard itself. You know where I showed you the plug that was pulling out from the wall with the mold behind it, mm-hmm. which means it's wet?
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but wet with what? We don't know.
But
you can't feed stray animals on the property. I think this includes squirrels.
Leave my nuts alone, Robin. Hotel seems no responsibility for personal bodily injury occurring while using the gym facilities. Do you really think that they had gym facilities?
We didn't stay long enough to find the gym facilities.
Place did not have a gym, I assure you.
But at any rate, this is, let's see, skates, skateboards, bikes, or other recreational devices in common areas, including hallways, sidewalks, and parking lots. That's out. Distracting other guests with loud noise, TV, music, disorderly conduct, or large groups. You get an idea that this place is really party central. No car horns. Leaving minors unattended anywhere on the property, including in your room. And then this is what lets you know that this is a modern update. Engaging in any activity, including social media, Craigslist, or other internet posts that might jeopardize the safety and relative privacy of any suburban guest or employee. That means that you can't rent the place and then jack up the price and sublet it to somebody else by social media.
No.
Because you know what it doesn't mean? It doesn't mean that I can't go on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and say, "Dear God, don't get within 15 statute miles of this, or it'll probably, by the time you're done, it'll probably hurt when you pee."
That's exact. You can't post photos. Did you notice that when I found the reviews?
Oh, we're posting photos.
I'm not just posting photos. I'm going to send the photos.
We've got the little cockroach corpses.
Yeah,
photos. And we didn't keep them for souvenirs.
And the dirt streaming off of the pictures that are on the wall.
Oh, I fully expected if we had stayed the night there, that somewhere in the night we would have heard "Get out."
No, you would have died if you stayed there post surgery.
Oh, I couldn't. That's the whole thing. I couldn't be there post surgery. I would have had infections that they haven't even named yet. But anyway, that's why we weren't on the. That's why I wasn't. We weren't on the air last night. Because we were, and so we're still in a hotel and hope to be in permanent digs by, say, Sunday or so, looking around for another place. But just to put a nice little bow on all of this, the fact of the matter is, today was my pre-op. My last, you know, it was kind of like, you know, your last chance to say no. Not that I was gonna, but so this morning I met with the surgeon staff, and then I met with the anesthesia staff, and we talked about the fact that we talked about a lot of things. But the bottom line is that this is going to happen. It's going to happen Tuesday. I have to be there fairly early, but Monday is kind of an open day. I don't have a big list of don'ts, but I'm going to be living kind of light. But there's no reason to think that I should not be on the air at 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern, Monday afternoon for a final Morin Monday. And along with all of this, you know, after that, I'm not on the air. It will be reruns until I am back on the air. And so this is probably one of the greatest moments of, well, I hate to use it, jeopardy for this little independent broadcasting effort that we've ever faced. Because I know that surgery is Tuesday. I'll be in the hospital Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, perhaps released Sunday. I don't know how much I'm going to feel like doing a broadcast a week from Monday. I'd say it's probably a no. But once we get to where we're going to really put down roots for a month, I've got a wireless microphone. I can recline to the extent possible, get up and walk around, and we'll see how it goes from there. I don't want to be away from the mic, but the bottom line. Is that we've got about a $2,200 fundraising hole to keep all of this going. That's where we stand, and if you'd like to help out, it's help that would be decidedly well and kindly received. Thank you, Mark, for getting us started. Thank you so very kindly. And I hope other folks will jump in alongside, and maybe we can have... Well, it's probably too much to hope that we'll have a community-made miracle of the entire sum this evening, but maybe we can knock out a good chunk of it, and I hope we can. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so very much. Don in West Tennistan writes in and says, "You're coming in loud and clear on head-on. So good to know that your journey is going well, except for a few bumps that can be expected when traveling. I'm in a motel in Jackson, Tennessee with no toilet paper. Has the shortage on TP started? It's a damn fine question, Don, because ours didn't have any either.
I'm sending virtual toilet paper because I know that.
Yeah, you get no. We know your discomfort, Don, because well, we've been on the road for about 4 hours and no toilet paper. Yeah, my best to you next week and to Agnes from Don in West Tennessee. Thank you, Don. Thank you. And, you know, I've spent some time in Jackson, Tennessee, not too awfully far from Pinson Mounds. And if you recall, that's one of my favorite places. It was literally a city that very few people even know about. But there's like over 1,000 mounds, you know, small platforms and pyramids and the like. That go back, at least one of them dates back 2,000 years. If you ever get a chance, Don, it's worth walking around there if you never have before. It's an absolutely fascinating day. And climbing to the top of those two pyramids, it's kind of spiritual, really. And thank you, Ralphs. Ralph says, I'm offering a $25 challenge. Huge hugs. Thank you so much, Ralphs. Thank you. We will get, we'll knock this down, and I appreciate your kindness so very much indeed, so very much, because basically I'm running two households now, keeping the house going in West Virginia and keeping us going back here. And there will be like Uber fares and stuff like that because it's, this is not something anybody... Well, driving the car is going to stay here, and we're going to Uber to the hospital. Let's put it that way.
Agnes does not drive here.
No, Agnes does not drive in Birmingham. One of the things that most warms my heart is the fact that she does not wish to leave me alone in the hospital. Nope. And that just really makes my soul feel good.
How could I be your nurse if I'm somewhere else?
Right. You know, just sitting back at the apartment playing canasta.
Because my life of leisure is going to work out real
well. Well, then again, I don't think there's one-handed canasta out there, so that's probably out, dear. And then, let's see here. By the way, Joey is back and writing again. Reagan clone. It was on this day in 1979 that Iran took at least 6 U.S. hostages. This was... in retaliation to the United States giving safe harbor and medical care to the Shah of Iran, Reza Pahlavi. Jeffrey immediately posits, was this hostage event on November 4th, 1979, this was yesterday's journal, as it turns out really was, yes, with the hostage taken by the Iranians on that day. It was the ticket of entry for the Ronald Reagan presidency, considering Reagan committed treason when he interfered with Carter's deal to have the hostages released well before the election. Late in the summer of 80, it appeared that Jimmy Carter was on the way to re-election with the release of the hostages well before the election. It would have likely solidified re-election for Carter had the hostages returned in the early fall of 80. Reagan undermined Carter's deal with the Iranians and promised Iran arms for hostages if the Iranians waited until Inauguration Day. This then led to the Iran-Contra Act of Treason and a Reagan election victory exactly to the day, 1 year later, of the taking of the hostages, November 4th, 1980. Junior reviews the irony. Iran hostages taken on November 4th, 1979, Reagan elected on November 4th, 1980, and Reagan's library opened on November 4th, 1991. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Junior. On this day in 1955, the greatest pitcher of all time died in Newcomerstown, Ohio. I'm familiar with Newcomerstown, Ohio, because it sits right there on I-77, shortly after one leaves West Virginia, bound for points north, and ultimately, in my case, I ran across it when we were taking my dad to the Cleveland Clinic back in the early part of this century, and they gave him an extra 10 years of life. Or thereabouts. Actually, it was right at the beginning of the century. Newcomerstown, Ohio. Jeffrey pitches in. Yes, Cy Young became Cy Old and died on this day in 1955, the 4th of November. Remember, this is yesterday's journal. At the age of 88, Cy Young won 512 games, nearly 100 more than the second-best pitcher, Walter Johnson, Freight Train Johnson, who won 417. And this is one of the things, it's a trivia moment. Anybody can just look it up because the internet now. But it's one of those neat things to tuck away. Nope, now don't go looking at the internet. I'll know if you did it. Cy, or even Cyrus, was not Cy Young's name. Do you know that? No. His complete game numbers were just crazy. If he stepped onto the mound, he was going to throw baseballs for 9 innings. But Cy was not his name. He had another name, and I'm wondering if anybody knows, without Googling or without checking on the internet, does anybody know what that name was? Because once you know it, it's hard to forget it. Speaking of baseball, of course, as we mentioned yesterday, the World Series ended Tuesday night. Joey says, I was reminded of my friend Richard. Richard and I watched the World Series the last 7 years in a row, and I really missed not having him there to watch this year's classic. Richard, being Jewish, always liked to talk about the great Jewish players of the past, Hank Greenberg, Sandy Koufax, especially. He loved former Cleveland Indians player Al Rosen. Richard read me an article during the 2017 World Series about how two Jewish players each had a home run in the same game for their respective teams. Alex Bregman homered for the Astros, and Jock Peterson did the same in Game 6 of the 7-game series in 2017. Thought of Richard during this year's series, as both Jock Peterson and Alex Bregman both played in this year's series, again for their respective teams. Peterson came over to the Braves from the Dodgers after a short stint with the Cubs this season, and Bregman was still and will be an Astro for a long, long time. So this past September, Joey says, was really difficult without my dear friend because of the two Jewish holidays, which I always celebrated with him and his family in Cleveland. I especially enjoyed visiting with one of Richard's cousins, Steve Dettelbach. I don't know if I should use his last name or not, Joey. He was the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Ohio under President Obama, and I really enjoyed listening to this brilliant man tell numerous stories about his time working for the Obama administration. One time, during a Yom Kippur celebration, he mentioned how impressed he was with my knowledge of the Jewish people and their accomplishments. I just simply told Steve that I think the Jews are the most amazing lot of people, as they make up less than 2% of the country, but are so prominent in so many fields and strive to educate themselves to the nth degree, as approximately 66% have undergrad degrees from college and 33% have postgraduate degrees, doctors, lawyers, etc. He then asked me a serious question. Why don't you consider converting and joining us? With a straight face, I answered, believe me, Steve, I'd love to, but I guarantee you that I am not smart enough. Steve just howled with laughter and thought that was funny. I really missed seeing Steve, Richard, and all of his family during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur this past September. In fact, on the eve of the holiest holiday of the Jewish religion, this past September 15th, Yom Kippur, I just sat at my home with tears streaming down my face. Oh, Joey. As I thought of Richard that day, while I was watching one amazing young woman tear into the FBI director for the negligence of the department and the lack of investigation or concern for the numerous women gymnasts that were molested by a ruthless predator, Richard would have been beaming with pride watching that wonderful Jewish athlete, Ali Raisman, raise hell. Raisman, Raisel, see what he did there? I don't have a cowbell. Toaster, with the FBI on the eve of the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Jeffrey adding, so I would say the FBI needs to perform much atonement for their total disregard and reckless neglect for the well-being of these young women. And I was happy to see that the New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy won in Jersey, but Terry McAuliffe, the man who wore, literally and figuratively, too many of Hillary Clinton's pantsuits, lost to a scumbag who ran on taking a cheap shot at Cleveland native Toni Morrison. Yeah, it's going to be a long 4 years with Glenn Youngkin. Morrison was an amazing novelist who won a Nobel Prize in Literature and a Pulitzer Prize for her book Beloved. And this tycoon, Glenn Youngkin, this dirtbag, asshole-elect governor of Virginia's greatest accomplishment, was outsourcing good-paying jobs just like Mitt Romney did with his private equity firm. And Jeffrey adds the finishing touch for the fourth journal. The spirit of Ronald Reagan is alive and well in good old Virginia because they just elected a governor who enriched himself by destroying good jobs and raising taxes on the middle class and the poor. And there's a further challenge on the table this evening, $50 Raise the Reagan Library Challenge. And Joey adds for today, the Texas Two-Step. On this day in 2009, A gunman opened fire at the Fort Hood military base and killed 13, and on this day in Texas in 2017, a gunman opened fire at a church and killed 24 people. With a political thought, Jeffrey says, contrary to popular rumor, after the debacle in Virginia, the Democratic Party is not changing their official donkey to Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Thanks for noticing me. And so these have been Joey's journals for the 4th and the 5th of November, with Giraffe wishing Robin a successful transition on the 11th. And so all told, between the Raise the Reagan Library and the successful transition challenge, there's $75 in challenging money on the table to go with the $25 that Ralph's has put forward. And with any luck at all, they'll all be met, and we will we'll get down to $2,000 to go. Actually, $1,975 to go to be even with this week and next week, and make sure that things don't go sideways in the two households. So thank you for that, Joey. Now, that having been said, of course, the world did not stop simply because I was running around having a terrifyingly bad time. We were having a terrifyingly bad time finding lodgings. Oh, no. It is, of course, this is the world we live in, and maggots are continuing to be at least mildly held to account. You might recall what Judge Beryl Howell said last week about the kid gloves treatment that the insurrectionists are getting. Jenna Ryan was one of those rioters, maggot insurrectionists. Not a riot, an insurrection, attackers. Jenna Ryan was one of those attackers. She assaulted constitutional governance on the 6th of January, 2021. And she's been running her mouth ever since. And she took to social media yesterday, Thursday, and said on Twitter, she said, "I'm just going to make a blanket statement to all the people that are calling me and texting me. You win. I'm going to prison, so you don't need to contact me anymore. Pop champagne and then rejoice, but just leave me alone. Thank you. I'm not going to prison for the things I said or standing in front of the broken window. It's for walking in Capitol for 2 minutes, and what the judge says is to serve a deterrence to others, since I have a high profile, which I got after the fact, thanks to MSM smear campaign." Problem was, the prosecutors did play the footage of her saying, you know, she was inside the Capitol when she made the video. "We're going to fucking go in here, life or death, it doesn't matter. Here we go." And well, the judge was having none of it. She was charged with more than one thing. But once again, the very thing that U.S. District Judge, Chief Judge Beryl Howell was complaining about came to pass. Because Jenna Ryan was sentenced, wait for it, you might want to grab some tissues. Jenna Ryan attacked constitutional governance and the seat of constitutional government on January the 6th, 2021. And the judge hit her with 60 whole days in jail. 60 days. Mm-hmm. And she had the nerve to call that a travesty instead of thanking the judge and the federal prosecutors from the bottom of her heart for not charging her with what she actually did. You know, a felony. I think this is that part of the program where I say, y'all, they're going to do it again. They may not, you know what, but I may be wrong. They may not have to do it again. because with the way that things are shaping up in terms of in terms of how the Republicans are being allowed to trash the right to vote, they may not have to do it again. They'll just let's see, what's that term that Rona death sentence he was in for? They may just monkey up the ability to vote until they'll win by default, or maybe they'll just monkey up the way that votes are counted. Look at Georgia. Look at Texas. I've said before, hell, I may not be, with the changes I've got coming, I may not be able to vote. Who knows? Who knows? But she's mad. Y'all win. I'm going to prison. Now, remember, she was a real estate agent from Dallas.
She's not going to prison. She's going to jail.
Right. Yeah. There's a big difference. She's going back to that little facility. I don't know where she's going to serve it. Maybe that little facility. Maybe she'll get to serve it in Texas. Maybe they'll bring her Burger King or something from one of America's auxiliary homes of treason. It's hard to say. Now, Leah, New York, going into the Capitol. If a person just walks into Fort Knox, is that not a crime? Just walks into. Yeah, especially if you've got 12,000 other people walking in at the same time. Not saying, just saying. Somebody find me the world's smallest violin. But they are, you know, they're a dangerous lot. And as I've pointed out probably 100 times before, we have no idea of the depth or the breadth of the infection of cue balls and maggots and oath keepers and free percenters and Proud Boys and Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters executive staffers in all facets of our civil society. In our police forces, in our National Guard, in our reserves, and in our active duty military. Consider for a moment Tyler Miller. It was about a half a month ago. It was around October 13th, and he runs a page on Facebook called Liberty, Liberty, Sit Liberty, Sit, ooh, Liberty at All Hazards. Where he wrote, PSA, COVID mandates are threatening your life, liberty, and property. Really? Something to keep people from dying is a threat to people's life. So, here's the thing. Dude here, Tyler Miller, works for the United States government at a maintenance yard for our nuclear submarines. We can save the debate on whether we should have nuclear submarines for another day. We have them. And apparently, there are maggots and cue balls and anti-vaxxers who work on them. In particular, in his case, Tyler Miller, the Trident Refit Facility at Naval Base Kitsap, Bangor in Washington State. Because he's been running his mouth all through the pandemic. The Navy suspended him for 1 month and revoked his security clearance. A spokesman for the Trident facility by the name of Mike Hatfield said the suspension of access to sensitive and classified information is not a disciplinary action. It is a measure taken in the interest of protecting national security information. Jesus. How many more are there? How many more? How deep does it run? Well, Tyler Miller said, well, the intent has never been to cause or incite any kind of violence. No, all you said was lethal force is just, not sure who needs to hear this, but lethal force is justified when defending one's own life, liberty, or property. PSA, COVID mandates are threatening your life, liberty, and property. But he wasn't advocating violence. He was just saying that it would be okay if somebody decided, kinda, sorta, that they wanted to resort to, the blued steel Freedom Protector penis extension to protest having to get a shot to save their miserable maggot lives. The infection has spread far further than I think any of us, than a lot of America suspected. We have suspected it for quite some time. Yeah. It's hard to resist the notion that they are gonna, do it again. So what does that mean? We will start the next hour with or without Robin, whatever. Let's get the conversation going. And see what's on folks' mind this evening. Oh, Gary, yeah, Whataburger. I love Whataburger. There's even a few of those around here. There we go. And so, a little past 6 o'clock, about a quarter past 6 o'clock here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, it's a little past 5 here. Let's check in with Sparky and see what's going on. Hey, Sparky. Okay, I almost heard audio.
This goddamn new Skype.
No, is it driving you crazy, Sparky?
Yeah. Because I got a mute button on my microphone, and every time you start it, you mute your microphone automatically on the Skype icon mic.
Ugh.
But anyway, we didn't know if you were going to show up today, so that's why I posted that at 2 o'clock.
I saw it, and I thought I was like, I'm already here, but then I saw what time it was.
Got to be paying attention.
Oh, I'm paying attention. And there's just so many things to pay attention to.
You insulted Texans when you said Burger King for that gal.
Oh, Whataburger. Yes, of course. Yeah.
We were talking about it in the chat.
Right, yeah.
So Gary brought it up.
Yeah, Whataburger. I saw Gary mention that. You know what? I may look around and see. Because I'd rather have Whataburger than Five Guys any day of the week.
Have Whataburger in Birmingham?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure they do. I know I saw it down on the Gulf Coast. But the other thing they have here, and I'm looking forward to maybe, well, I was looking around trying to find one. There's a chain here that's kind of local to the Birmingham area called Milo's. And Milo's has become kind of famous, at least regionally. I mean, hell, up in West Virginia, I can buy Milo's sweet tea in gallon jugs. And God, it's sweet, sweet tea. I mean, it's pancake syrup tea. And Agnes loves it. Not anymore.
No, I wouldn't drink that stuff.
But they've always been famous for their tea, but they're a hamburger joint. And they serve, their hamburgers come with like cheese and chopped onions and pickles and brown gravy. They're fantastic. No,
I can go for that.
Oh, yeah. They're real good.
Just a side of gravy so you can dip the burger in it.
Oh, no, no, no. It's the gravy's on the burger.
Oh.
Although I suppose you could get it on the side. Don't know why not. So, in like I said, I was gone yesterday, and of course we were on the road Monday and Tuesday. Have you guys been keeping holding down the fort?
Over on John's show, we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's John? Did John get the craziness settled down for a little bit?
Yeah, I guess so. Because he had a show Tuesday and show Thursday, and he's supposed to join in tonight.
Well, I'd love it. I would love it if he would.
We crowned him the head cheerleader for the front porch.
Head cheerleader. Okay. Well. Okay. Good.
Yeah, he's going to bring his pom poms.
Because Bernadette was talking him up.
Aw, Bernadette's such a sweetheart. Love her to pieces.
And she told me she's got some kind of problem with Skype with her iPad or something. I don't know. Phone. Reason she doesn't join in.
Oh, I see. I see.
But other than that, we talk about Trump and crazy shit going on. I see the January 6th committee that Chairman Thompson issued a statement about the guy that was supposed to testify today. Well, he did come in, but he wouldn't say nothing. He refused to testify.
Right, because, well, what, Fifth Amendment?
No, Trump's privilege, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so
I read something about privilege. I posted the whole statement. Mr. Clark claimed a privilege and rejected it. He has a very short time. Benny Thompson rejected his claim of privilege. So he says he has a very short time to reconsider, cooperate fully. We need the information that he is withholding, and we are willing to take strong measures to hold him accountable to meet his obligation.
Was,
what would the strong measures be? Uh-oh. Guess he just popped in.
Oh, yeah?
John Brittavo, the head cheerleader.
Where is that guy?
Head cheerleader John Brittavo's in the room?
How you doing, Robin?
It's been a couple of days, John. It's been a couple of days.
Oh, tell me about it, baby.
Mine did not involve danger to life or limb. How are you doing with the idiots out your way?
We're trying to maintain a certain distance. Of course, I went outside to do my show today because I wanted to do the show with my donkey Jenny over my shoulder.
Oh,
you know,
sweet.
So we set up the whole shot, and as soon as I did, here comes the parade of idiots down the street. So my son is going to have to chop it up and put sections in there and edit it, but just a ball of fun down here where I live, baby.
No, I can well imagine.
It really messed up. We had a nice Halloween program planned, and then the next thing you know, we got the law out here, and they kind of shit. So,
well, I mean, are they worth a damn? I mean, are they doing anything, John?
No. No, and it was real helpful to find out your sheriff used to be an oath keeper.
Well, of course, yeah.
That really makes me.
Well, that's what I was talking about a couple of minutes ago. The maggot infection in law enforcement and the military is a hell of a lot more than most it's a hell of a lot more than most people even begin to comprehend.
Indeed, they love that thin blue line shit. You know, hey, look here, back to blue and all that. It's you know that program just like. God, guns, and glory, and all the other bullshit bumper stickers that the Republicans sell, because that's all it is. You know, if they hold up the flag and hold up the Bible and a gun, baby, look at their patriotic motherfucker. Let's go. I want to be in that party. It's a bumper. They don't believe in any of that. They believe in the gun part. That flag and that Bible part, props, baby.
Well, see, one of the things that drives me crazy is that these are the same people who used to holler, you know what we need? We need a constitutional amendment, again, burning the flag, because desecrating is wrong. And yet they all run around with that monochrome American flag with the one blue stripe on it, and that's flag desecration straight up and down.
Oh, the thin blue line or the don't tread on me, they'll put that flag. Hell, they put Trump's face on it, holding a machine gun or some shit like that, riding a tank. It's all in the marketing, baby. That's what they're selling. They're not selling anything America needs. They're selling a pumped up, oh, let's go get them attitude. I'm a patriot. Y'all wave the flag. Oh, God bless America and all that other shit. But again, they have no meaning behind that. They scream freedom. And freedom comes from shared sacrifice. But they're not willing to share the sacrifice now. I ain't wearing no mask and I ain't getting no damn jab. In the South, or rise again. All that shit. So we're trying to sell the real thing. But we're being outdone by a blockbuster movie type fake hero shit. I don't know, Robin.
I know.
It's frustrating. It is.
Right? It's infuriating.
It is.
When you pour
your heart into this shit every day, you know, and it's so obvious to us. The true meaning. And I, some people, John, that sounds so, I don't give a shit. Romantic cliche. I don't give a shit. Patriotism, baby. Yeah, it's shared sacrifice. Patriotism really is. When people say to me, thank you for your service, John, I always tell them, thank you for paying your taxes. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Shared sacrifice is that tax.
Everybody has a role to play. And I remember way, way, way back when I used to know a judge who, when he was instructing the jury, would say, you know, because the jury instruction part of the trial is the part where the judge drones on and on and on, and the jury and the lawyers go to sleep. and then the jury goes and does whatever a jury does. But along the way, and this did stick with me because it was before I nodded off, he would say,
that's always helpful.
He would say, there are two means of civic service that any citizen can perform. The first is voting, but the more important of the two is serving on a jury.
Indeed.
And that would, and jury duty is a shared sacrifice.
It is. It's one of those things that nobody, it's like taxes. Nobody wants to pay your taxes. They're taking your money out of your pocket. But it's how we make our society run. It's how we provide for our society. And, voting is the key. If we don't vote, especially, you know, and I know a lot of people think it's just the same old rhetoric, you know, well, it's going to be Trump won in 2016, so we got to come back in 2018, take the House. Come on, we got to do this. And we did. And then in 2020, we kicked his ass out. We wanted him gone. But now people are starting to slack off and getting frustrated. I'm afraid we're going to lose that momentum. And we can't afford to. If anything, we need to put the pedal to the metal here, baby. Let's go. We have the power now. Let's speed this thing up a little bit. If it was a Republican's office, they'd be steamrolling your ass with whatever it is they wanted. So, I don't know. I'm frustrated and tell you the truth, Robin, I'm tired.
Lord, I know. Shit,
what's going on in my neighborhood has been going on for over a year. And it wears on my family. It wears on my nerves.
And that's the purpose.
It wears on us as a whole.
That's the purpose. They're trying to get you to stop.
Yes.
I mean, would they stop if you stopped doing your show, do you think?
I'm going to be, I keep telling them, listen to the beginning of my show. Listen to the song that's being played. It tells you right there, this is my house on a little piece of land, and this is where I'm going to take my stand. And they can do whatever they want. I'm expecting a bulldozer next door, if they did indeed buy that property over there, to come rip roaring right down the property line just to say good morning. Stuff like that.
How did they manage to get a hold of the property, John?
I don't know if they did. I don't know if they got the one right next to me. I know they bought a couple down the street here, and right on my street, just a few lots down from me. But there's three empty lots right next to me, which is a nice riverfront piece of property. And
right there on the banks, the lukewarm the banks of the lukewarm Nueces River.
The banks of the muddy river, baby, the Nueces River. But it's worn on me. It's frustrated me to the extent of I worry about my own health and stuff like shit. Am I gonna don't have a heart attack over all this shit? But if you think for one freaking minute that I'm going to stop,
ain't my no voice, quit. Ain't no lay
are you
down,
shitting
ain't
me?
No
that's
go
what's
away.
Pissing you off. Yeah. My voice is what pisses you off. So fuck you. You're going to hear it every goddamn day of your freaking life, and it's going to get worse.
Well, you know, don't let them give you a heart attack, John. Well, you just go to work on theirs.
Yeah, that's what I'm working.
And the thing
on,
is, they're such babies that they can't stand hearing an opposing viewpoint.
No.
And that's what it boils down to. You know, they love America. They sure don't love free speech, and they do not love hearing their God Emperor criticized.
No,
and that's the essence. That's the essence of fascism, John.
You know, I keep remembering the words of, believe it or not, Jared Kushner, who probably the only wise thing that ever came out of that man's mouth was when he said when we were courting how to wrangle the Republicans. It's not the issues with these people. It's the attitude. They're not selling issues. They could give a flip what's in any bill. It doesn't matter. If it sounds patriotic, they'll support it, you know. Whatever, the maggots out there. I'm not talking about politicians. Politicians are the ones that play the game, you know. But it's not the issues with the Republican base out there. It's the attitude. Yeah, fuck you, Trump. Trump all the way, Trump 24, you know. Oh yeah, it's that attitude of they'd rather burn it down than see the Democrats progress because we've become so demonized by the right.
Oh without, yeah, without it. And look, the business in Virginia. I mean, it's almost like and I don't want to because you work really really hard, John Britovo, to make sure that people stay empowered and they stay fired up and God knows vote like your life depends on it because it does.
Because it does.
But
it does.
The idea that a bunch of people in Virginia said we didn't get a pony so we're not going to go vote. I mean, is that true? Is that real? I mean, we were down enjoying some of the happiest days we've had recently. Just had a couple of days down on the Gulf. You know how wonderful the Gulf can be. And saw those election returns come in on Tuesday, and well, you know, the voters didn't show up. Really? You didn't show up, and so you let a theocrat become the governor of Virginia.
Yeah, I always think if anything kills us, it's going to be apathy.
I mean, yeah, you know what? Apathy. Well, I don't know, and I don't care. Ignorance and apathy, the twin curses of America. But why, what is it, do people only get excited during presidential election years? I mean, it flummoxes me. There's so much at stake. Virginia was becoming the most advanced, most technologically and civically advanced state below the Mason-Dixon line. And last Tuesday, they just, we don't want to be that. We want to run around with our urine-colored snake flags.
There you go. You ain't putting no mask on me. I don't take no jab. You know, it's what Donnie Boy, the orange anus out of Mar-a-Lago, Golden Sunshine, Golden Showers in fine hospitality.
Mar-a-Lardass.
Mar-a-Lardass. This is what he's done, baby. It's not about the issues. It's not about what's good for America. It's the attitude of this maggot society. But let me caveat that by saying they are a minority in numbers. Democrats outnumber them. Along, you throw in the independents and those reasonable conservatives that have already left the Republican Party, and we are the vast majority.
Absolutely.
But with anything, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. It's the story of the day, the outrage de jour that the right wing media and the right wing politicians and everything propagate every day. Crank out there, know.
Yeah.
And they keep us in a constant stage of outrage, which is not good for us.
And that's the thing. You know, Virginia had a decent legislature. Virginia had was not up against...
They lost the House, too. The, I know. Virginia House to the Republicans.
And so, you know, for somebody in my position, you know, not to make it all about me or whatever, but it's going to be 4 years. Well, at least 2 years. It's going to be 2 years of these of these mouth breathing, knuckle walking freaks running around banging on trans kids. You know it.
And you know it.
And, yeah. And hollering about overturning Obergefell and destroying the marriages of millions of people.
That's the Republican Party. Yonkin's son?
Huh?
Oh, sorry. I accidentally walked all over you right there. I just wanted to see if everybody heard about Yonkin's son.
No.
Yonkin's son.
Nope. No, do tell. Was he caught? Was he caught with a man in his mouth or
no.
Getting it on with a dog?
Tried to vote twice.
Yep, tried to vote twice and only 17.
Lock him up. Lock him up. Lock him up.
Sounds like criminal activity to me.
Sounds like voter fraud.
Are you sure?
Yep, because they get to do whatever they want and we never get to, and we get punished because, you know, like, I'm sorry, but maybe we need new leadership. I mean, I think we should have some people that stand up more for us, you know, don't you think? I mean, like, why?
What I said on Wednesday, and I stand by it, is that Terry McAuliffe was not the most dynamic candidate, and he'd been governor before, and there was nothing, you know, nothing to get excited about.
That's the problem.
But the other part of it is that the woman who ran on the Democratic ticket for lieutenant governor was an African American woman, and she got beat too. And
well, on account of that, the Republicans put up a black woman,
right? Who walked around fondling an AR-15, apparently.
Well, you know, fashion of the day. With the maggots, like, you shit me. That's how you're going to get them. God, guns, wave the flag, hold the Bible up there. You got them, bud. You got them. You got them. Isn't that sad?
Approximately 1.8 million people less voted in Virginia's election this year than in the presidential election.
Yeah. Just didn't want to show up.
That's quite a number. That's quite. See,
1,799,517 less votes.
I wonder if maybe the margin of victory was in there somewhere.
You know, this is getting freaking ridiculous. You know,
you guys, like, I'm going to say that I'm probably one of the younger people that listen to this program. You know what I mean?
Get off my lawn.
I'm absolutely terrified. That's why I'm always coming here with doom and gloom, because I'm just absolutely terrified that these, like, you know, I look at, like, all these people that are around me, like, I work with and all that kind of stuff, and they just blatantly show off their politics. Like, this one guy, you know, at work, you know, he's showing me pictures of something, you know, that he had some, I forget what it was, motorcycle or something like that. And then he's in his camera roll, he swiped past a fuck Joe Biden flag. Now, he don't know my politics at all. Like, I don't really know the guy that well. And I'm just like, they're just like, wow, everybody's turning into right wingers, because I don't know what it is. I don't get it. You know, like, here's another example. I work with this kid, or a guy that's about my age, not political, not registered to vote or anything like that. He receives the child tax credit every month, but yet he hates Biden because of inflation, you know, and there's just a
fundamental running. There. He couldn't spell inflation. If you spotted him, the I-N-F-L-A-T-I and the O, he couldn't spell inflation. He hates Biden because he has been taught to hate Biden, John. Not that I'm not barking at you. You know that. But
I know. It's Joe Biden.
Fucking stupid.
I disagree. Like, I do. I disagree. Because he has a kid who's 12, and him and his wife – or I don't know his wife's politics or anything like that. You know, him and his wife are suspect that his daughter might be trans or bisexual or gay, right? And he's like, we're trying to figure it out, because if she is, we're going to tell her we're absolutely okay with that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, he's not as right wing as you think. I don't think. I just think that, like, something is there's a failure of something along the way. And I'm not saying it's on our side or their side or something, but like the discourse has gotten so, like, their message is amplified, like, just so much more than ours all the time on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it gets into people's heads. It people hear it everywhere, you know.
And the more they hear it, the more of them that are inclined to jump on the bandwagon. That, you know, you're hitting the nail on the head. It's the messaging. It's the messaging of the Republican Party versus the messaging of the Democratic Party. And until we start showing more activity on our side, you know, it's like I said, they have the advantage of fake patriotism. I insist. I swear. You wave a flag, you hold a Bible, you hold an AR-15, you're going to attract a certain group of people, and they're locked into that. None of that, you know, the Bible or the Constitution, none of that really means anything to them. If they read it, it's just a thought to them. So it's easier to go over there and not have a brain in your head to contemplate the issues. All you need to do is slap that bumper sticker on your car, baby. And there you go, God, guns, and glory. We're ready to go, rock and roll. But we have to present something else to redefine what it means to be a patriot. Because Lord knows we buried enough of them.
Well, that's so true. But John, if I could go back to what John just observed a minute ago, mm-hmm. cognitive dissonance is a huge part of this. You know, once upon a time, the political cliche was to shake hands and kiss babies. Well, now it's shake hands and fondle an AR-15.
Yep. Blow something up.
Fill up a Prius with Tannerite and shoot it. But the other part of that is John in Central PA was talking about, you know, this friend of his, you know, they may have a trans kid and they're going to tell the kid that it's okay. Well, do they not realize they're supporting a party that hates that child? I don't mean mildly dislikes. I mean hates that child. They're voting for candidates who hate that child.
But you got to remember, though, Robin, like I said, he's not even registered to vote. So he doesn't he's one of those people that he just hears things and isn't really that political. And same with his wife, too. You know what I mean? So they don't even vote. And I don't think he plans on voting. You know what I mean? But he'll every now and then he'll bring up it's not that he hates Biden. I don't know if he does or not. I just assume that he might. But whenever he brings up stuff, he'll talk about his house and stuff. And he's like, yeah, and that paints all that. And we'll get into a discussion about how prices are way up on everything. And he'll be like, freaking Biden, man. And I'll tell him, like, well, dude, he's only been in for less than a year. You know, and that usually
These problems started a year ago.
Right.
Right.
Economic cycles take a little while to come around. The one that drives me nuts is, you know what? Biden drove our gas prices up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that makes me eat dirt and run rabbits. I mean, I'm a little bit paranoid. Okay. I'm a little bit paranoid, and I've seen it enough times to think that it's probably real. Gas prices do go up when Democrats become president.
Yeah.
Because the oil companies punish us for voting for a Democratic president, because they know that the oil companies know that as long as there's a Republican in the White House, they're going to stay on the dole.
They got carte blanche.
I mean, the hydrocarbon companies are the biggest welfare queens in this country.
Amen.
And that's a good point. I wish people would be educated in this. Our problem is that we don't have a thing as big as Fox News, because Fox News is so big anymore. Like, it's on my gym, and it's a popular gym, you know.
Going to that gym.
But all of them do. All of them have, and I try to tell them.
That's exactly why. And I come on here and preach every time I do. How come Robin's voice is so important? On the grand scheme of things up against Fox News, no, we can't compete. But there's a market out there. You're listening. And by the way, we're going to rely on you to suddenly start telling your neighbor about what patriotism really means. You know, shared sacrifice. We got to pull together. Just drop.
Yeah, my mom and dad's generation understood what that shared sacrifice. Agnes's parents understood what that shared sacrifice was. That's why in a little bitty coal camp town in West Virginia, during the Second World War, there were blackout curtains on the windows of the high school, as if the Luftwaffe were going to suddenly come over and start bombing the bejesus out of Anstead High School. Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. But it was a part. It was a part of everyone doing their parts. Before, you know, my father worked in the coal mines before he ever left high school, and he was using his pay, such as it was. In 1942 from the coal mines, he was buying, you know, he couldn't afford a whole war bond, but he was buying stamps. You could buy a portion of a war bond until you had a whole bond. And his, you know, his classmates were doing the same thing who had jobs, because everybody had to felt a need to contribute to the effort. Maybe we don't have that sense of shared sacrifice because people just die by themselves, horizontally crucified in some intensive care unit.
I agree with you, Robin. And many times I've pointed out the fact that, in my belief, the last time this country ever came together was during World War II. Because World War II, we had a victory. We had soldiers come home. We had parades. We had everything. After that, maybe everything from Korea to Vietnam, we came back one by one. You got on an airplane. You got off. Nobody was there to freaking give you a parade. You were a little bit more ashamed to put on your freaking uniform and go to town. Things changed back after World War II, when we immediately went into Korea, and people were tired of war, and it lost its glory. Thank goodness sometimes I see now where it's trying to be brought back, but for those of my generation, no, it wasn't there, baby. It wasn't there. Veterans still to this day tell each other, welcome home, brother, welcome home.
As a veteran, if one got involved in the anti-Vietnam War movement in 1969-70, you were very much welcomed home.
Yeah, you were. And a lot of veterans came home and joined that movement to stop that war.
That's why I'm talking about it.
Yes, yes. And I rely so much on my own history. Given away your age, you know, shit, John, I'm freaking old now. But I do remember the 60s and the 70s.
You're just a kid.
I'm just a kid compared to Spark, but I'm trying to catch up with the lightning bolt, baby. But it was that push. And I always remind myself, it was the people of this country that got us out of Vietnam, that gave us things like civil rights, the voting rights. We got the EPA. We started doing things. And that was all driven by the power of the people in the streets wanting change. It was driven by the people.
Chased Richard Nixon right out of office.
Right the fuck out of office. Get the fuck out. Bye-bye, dick. You know, it now those same people had to go to work and earn a living and became boomers. And we got Reagan and trickle-down economics and voodoo all shit going on. And it screwed everything up and we let it happen. So, yeah, we really do. We have to encourage the youth of this country, the young, the old. I don't give a shit how old you are, really, to remind them that it's us. We have the power to make the change. I always say that politicians are only relying on their paycheck, maybe the one they get from the lobbyists. It's only until our voice is bigger than their money that we win. It's when we have the power to take him out of office, because once that happens, he won't get that check no more. He's got to do what the people demand. And right now, the Republican Party is doing a damn good job of trying to rile up and have another revolution. We need to do better than that. We need to rise up, and we need to demand the things to lift up. I'm getting on a rant, Robin. I'm sorry, baby.
No, that's okay.
Local news if you want it.
Testify.
Say it, brother. Sing your song. No, I'm just I'm just, you know.
Well, I'm pissed off and
I'm worried about you. You're going somewhere, ain't you?
I am. I'm going to try to be on the air one more time on Monday evening.
Oh, okay. I thought this was the last one.
Well, it kind of may be. It depends on how things play out. We're still trying to get into
more to permanent. The bitter end, yeah. She's gonna use her voice. That's how important this show is. I can't stress that enough. Yes, we all know about Fox News. We know Breitbart, all sorts of right-wing nut job stations. It's the progressive voice out here that needs to be heard and pushed. So every time y'all donate, every time you send in a dollar, $10, $100, whatever it is,
and we got $100. We got here's the reality. I got a power bill. I got a water bill, I got internet, I got phones. All of this has to be paid, even though I'm not going to be able to be on the air. And on top of that, we've got to maintain ourselves down here. And yeah.
You mean all your utilities and all them people, they don't just say, okay, just take a few weeks off and.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't do that.
Yeah, they don't do it here either.
And so, you know, we're looking on, we've got $100 worth of challenges on the table this evening. And thank you very kindly to Michael. Thank you, Michael. Michael just knocked down part of Ralph's challenge. And then we'll start on Joey and Giraffe's. $15 to go on Ralph's. And then hopefully, hopefully we'll knock some of this down because I've got to be able to leave Agnes in position to deal with what she's got,
I know exactly how you feel.
Uber
exactly
rides.
How you feel. Yeah. This is your job, Robin. This is how you make your living. Your voice right here every day, trying to spread the word, trying to spread information and entertainment, which there is a vast amount of knowledge in things that we need to hear. And Robin provides that. So I always, I come on here when I do because I know the need. Robin needs
and John,
it.
I can never thank you enough.
We need you to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a great time for a Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle. I don't know if
it would be a great day for a miracle.
And so, Ralph's Ralph's challenge has been met, and we are started on Joey and Giraffe's challenges. Go ahead, Sparky.
Outstanding.
There's a person that joined the group, Black Sheep. Less,
yeah, that's less.
Princess. But you'll have to join call if you want to talk.
Oh, okay, yeah. Love to hear from you, Les.
Just hit that
he's green. Only in the chat room right now.
Hit that green, join the call.
And I guess some local news I wanted to share with you guys.
Sure.
What'd you do, get a delivery?
No. Okay. My favorite electric company that I was cussing last night.
Yes.
This is how fast justice moves. They've agreed to settle for a fire in the Kincade fire that was over by Sonoma in 2019 for $125 million.
You know what kind of blows my mind is that they've got that kind of Jed Clampett walking around money just laying there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was $2 billion for Paradise.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Yeah,
we're talking about Pacific Grafton Electric, right?
Yes. We have laws that are just bailing
us. The ones that
right
blinked out. Me yesterday, knocked me off of John's show before it started.
Ain't that some shit?
And then it come back on, so I have to restart my computer. Then it blinked me again, knocked me off. So I go out. My neighbor's trying to wonder why his well won't work. And coming to find out they were only transmitting in one leg. He needs 220 to run the well. So anyway, I went out and said, fuck it, I need to exercise my generator. So I just went out and did my human transfer switch deal that I do and got the generator going so I could catch John's show without any interruptions. And then they got the gall to call
you. Thank you for that, Sparky.
Then they have the gall to call you up on the phone saying your power's been restored. First they said, it was going to come back at 7 o'clock.
Oh, I'm dying right now. I really am.
Frustrating.
I know the frustration.
John's got a generator now. Right, he gets now. It hooked up.
Huh?
I said, John's got a generator now if he gets it hooked up.
Yes. Yes, we do. Thanks to the Blue Dot family. Thank you, Blue Dot family. Yes, my family pitched together because of the, basic reason is they're afraid that if we have a power outage here, my security cameras won't work. And that's what my neighbors would just love. And so, yes, Robin, they came together, and lo and behold, a truck pulls out in front of my house here and unloads a brand new generator.
That happened to me about 9 years ago, John, during the Great Derecho of 2012.
Isn't that something?
We would have been without electricity for 3 weeks, but at least we weren't able to get back on the air, but we were able to have electricity and save our food and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, you know, me and you, and I am knowledgeable that neither one of us are particularly religious fellows, but we are blessed in the fact that we have a strong family that backs us.
Well, that's why we call them community made miracles.
That's why we, yes, because it is the community that makes that miracle happen. It's not some religious potentate up in the sky.
Yeah, potentate.
I'm
really?
Smelling gumbo. That's my problem. My wife is out there making gumbo, and I smell
Ooh,
it.
Woo. Yeah,
that's a problem.
That was one nice thing about do you know what royal reds are, John?
Royal reds.
It's a Gulf shrimp that's out of the deep water areas, and they are the sweetest, most wonderful. And
no, I'm not familiar.
Agnes and I. Well, I guess it's more of a Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana Gulf Coast thing. But yeah. Mercy sakes, they're huge, and they taste like butter. I mean, no salt, no cocktail sauce, no nothing. You don't fry them. You steam them or you boil them, and they do. They're just so sweet, and they taste like butter. And I ate my fill of them while I was. And I tell you what, I know there's other beautiful beaches, but that place just has my heart.
Really,
oh yeah.
And we had perfect weather, and I want to go back.
Coast life.
Yeah, I want to go back and do about 2 weeks down there this time next year.
I tell people all the time, I'm a sand and sea kind of guy. Who's a good cowboy? That's right. I'm a coastal cowboy.
Exactly.
I'm more attuned to the sand and sea, warmer weather, tropical breezes.
And that white baby powder sand.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it all works for me.
And you know,
hey, talking about shrimp, though, you know where some knot, and these things are big. We're talking like, I don't know, freaking 8 inches long. They taste great in my backyard. They really are. I take a minnow trap out there, poke some cans in some cat food cans, throw it in the trap, and throw it over the, and in my river back here, we got some nice size shrimp. I just leave it out there for a little while. Gumbo.
Oh, you're killing me.
Jeremy's got his hand up, and Les has joined the call.
Let me say a couple of quick thank yous. Thank you to Gino, and thank you ever so kindly. To Charlene and Rogues Island, we have met the challenges. So we have knocked the fundraising goal down below the $2,000 mark. We're down at $1,875.
That sounds like a year.
It was. in this case, we're trying to get this week fully funded and next week fully funded, so that Agnes won't have to sweat while I'm, because I'm going to be out of it. I know that. And John, you were kind enough to ask earlier how things are going. And I will update you in a minute, but I want to get to Jeremy. Jeremy, go, man.
Hey, I know that guy.
Oh, sorry, I was muted out. I was going to say, first I was going to say hi to John and John, because there's two tonight, I guess. But the other John, was talking about a family member, and I mentioned on John's program, I think, this week, that I have a cousin, my mom's nephew, who swears he wants a war with the liberals and the left, because the left causes all the problems, so we need to all die. And his whole family comes from fucking labor.
Oh, sure. Sure.
But he's too dumb to realize who gave him all those labor rights and helped his family make money all these years and gave them their arbitrations and their agreements. And it's just, it's godsmackingly unbelievable sometimes the things people will say.
And that is that moment, Jeremy, that I've talked about before, the failure to transmit intergenerational wisdom. Or transgenerational wisdom, without using that word too often. But, you know, generations before mine damned well knew why not to vote for a Republican, and they were not going to be swayed by some Bible-banging or God-bothering. Or. But then again, part of the reason, you know, this country is in the birth pangs of a new America. It really is. Because back when my grandparents couldn't be swayed or couldn't be conned into voting for a Republican, we were a much more closed society. And rights were few and far between for people who were not of a particular complexion. And that made it less complicated. Now people are stepping up and demanding that they get the same rights that others have long held. And that scares people, because people are so civically uneducated. They see particularly rights issues as a zero-sum game. A situation in which if someone has rights, that means that someone else's rights have been eroded. That is not now, and nor has it ever been, how it works. You know, in a democracy, expansion of rights strengthens the democracy. It's only in an oligarchy where people get, or a plutocracy, where people getting rights becomes a threat, because it's a threat to the oligarchs. And who was the robber baron who said, "I can get half of the working class to kill the other half of the working class"? Well, that's still true. You just find a good wedge issue and away you go. I mean, as far back as 100 years ago with the rise of the labor movement, you had them screaming, "Well, you know, that's communism."
Was it J.P. Morgan?
Pardon?
Was it J.P. Morgan?
No, I think yeah. It was Gould.
Oh, okay.
But I also posted something just a little while ago, a statement someone posted, you know, saying when just a year ago all these things happened. And the one God-smacking one to me is that we had China under control and the world feared us. The world is never supposed to fear us. We tried to help the world misguidedly, I think, in some cases. But we never had China under control.
No.
If their military buildup doesn't show us that, I don't know what fucking will. But people cannot see this. They're blinded to what an orange moron said for 5 years.
Right. China laughed at us for 4 years.
And they still do.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, partly because the entire population of the United States is a freaking rounding error compared to China, okay? We are a rounding error. We are a tiny population that I think if you were a member of the Chinese government, you'd say that we exercise a degree of power far in excess of our size, even though we are an otherwise big and wealthy country. And there's a reason that Xi Jinping was not in Glasgow. He said he couldn't come because of the COVID threat. Bullshit. He's now the China is now the single biggest carbon polluter in the world. They're building coal-fired power plants as quickly as they're building anything else. I mean, they're building solar. They're putting in wind turbines, but they're also burning coal. And the goddamn boats leave Australia and the U.S. And the U.S. coastlines every day, delivering coal so that they can continue to heat up the planet and make it less likely to be able to support human life. It's not that complicated. Oh, and by the way, Tom in sunny San Rafael says, Pacific Grafton Electric is also commonly known as Pig and E. Wonder why? I don't think there's a whole lot of wondering going on. But it's absolutely astonishing when you can, you know, all of these under and un... educated voters. I mean, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, for fuck's sake, railed against paid family leave the other day.
Wait a minute, Robin.
Yes? Thank you.
I like that. I like that.
What, Lauren Bobblehead, Boobert, Clanny Oakley?
Yeah. Clanny Oakley.
Clanny Oakley. It won't be America if mommies and daddies get to stay home and get paid to stay home and take care of their youngins.
I had my baby in the front seat of my truck.
Yeah, I had a baby in the front seat of my truck. Yeah, I don't, you know, she makes herself sound like the woman who just walks over to the edge of the field and has a baby in Pearl S. Buck's The Good Earth.
I delivered one of my children in the front seat of my truck because as a mom of four, we got things to do. Ain't nobody got time for 2.5 months of maternity leave. We have a world to save here.
Yeah. And she's busy doing it?
Well, I mean, she's got four kids. I think so. There was some doing it. Lady, that's a uterus, not a clown car. But
for her.
Well, in her case, it may be a clown car. I don't know.
Maybe.
The guy in charge of it all, Mayor Pete, was on a 2-month maternity, paternity, or whatever the heck you want to call it leave. Okay, the guy was gone. The guy was not working. Because why? He was trying to figure out how to chest feed.
In her case, it's a whole goddamn circus.
God, she's so stupid. I mean,
hey, but she's got a gun, she's got a flag, and she's got a Bible.
You damn right. And there ain't but two genders out there. Wait, was that her or Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball?
Yeah, it's both of them. They found up got Matt Gaetz in there, too, because he don't want them either.
Oh, you mean Matt?
Yes, that's who they are.
Yeah, you mean Matt? It just gets worse? You know,
they're just following him tonight.
Yeah, I think.
No, we had a lot of fun with Jacket Off Jordan there.
Please don't let, please keep that going every time he raises his ugly little head.
Keep it going to the Blue Dot family, you betcha.
Yep. Jim, Jacket Off Jordan. Because he won't wear a jacket because the women's can wear pants.
Mm-hmm.
Genius.
God, it makes your little head hurt after a while. It honestly, Jesus does. It does. Let me see here. I got a note from Dave and the Blind. Suspended. They should have been fired and fully investigated. Talking about the nuclear sub technician in Washington. As for your extended stay horror show, one time Christine and me and we traveled, we checked into the world's oldest professional building. We pulled back the bedspread and we found pubic hair on the sheet. Well, okay, there's a pubic hair reference with into the third hour of the program, and there went dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. Yeah,
let's get on with the shiny honey.
Well, that's what that's for. Good luck Tuesday from Dave and the Blind and the boys down at the Crucifixion Emporium. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much.
Speaking of the Navy, did anyone happen to see that our most expensive sub, $3.5 billion, hit an underwater mountain about a week ago and tore off a whole nose cone? Thankfully, no one was killed. But yes, it took off the whole front end.
Which plays into one of those great Clark and Dawes bits from Australia from years back. The front fell off. Well, the front fell off. The front of a submarine fell off. You gotta wonder who was driving that day. Hey, hand me.
I guarantee you somebody's ass is in the sling.
Oh, no, okay, yeah.
Hey, hand me somebody else who ain't never going to command a submarine either.
The commander in the
XO,
whatever his second XO, they're both been relieved of duty.
But I mean, it's deadly serious. But behind the scenes,
you mess up government equipment, and the Navy doesn't like. Well, unless your name's John Kane.
Well, okay. True.
I caveat that. He crashed everybody's fucking right. But
John, you know as well as I do that while it was deadly serious, that there's a bunch of old salts going, Jesus Christ, he hit a fucking mountain.
He hit a fucking mountain. Are you shitting me?
did you not check the rearview mirror? Did you back into the mountain, boys?
Oh, shit.
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe we were using some off-brand Chinese sonar.
I mean, stand by, this may be a maybe.
Oh, but John,
didn't take off the nose cone, it removed the sonar array. The sonar array is like 24 feet wide. I mean, it did massive damage.
Well, and that's going to make it hard to back away and pretend that you didn't hit him. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's terrible, and it's a nuclear sub, for God's sakes. But can you imagine the guys back in the stern, you know, back in the engine compartment? What the fuck was that?
What the fuck was that? What did we hit? We hit something.
We're under the ocean. What the fuck are we hitting?
The whole fucking ship shook.
There's a whole goddamn planet down here.
Everybody's ass puckered a little bit. So, yeah, there's going to be a price for that shit. That's,
but, you know, if it had been a Russian sub.
I don't know how it could happen.
If it had been, if it had been a Russian sub, there would have been a moving underwater ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tidbit of trivia. In 1965, the Coast Guard cutter I was on just came out of the dry docks in Curtis Bay, Maryland. And we went back up to Groton, Connecticut, which was our home port, and did a Dependence Day cruise, i.e. married, whatever, you could bring your families on board. And we went to cruise around Long Island Sound. And we ran aground and we're stuck there till the tide came in several hours. Finally got off and we turned around and went back down to Curtis Bay, Maryland, because we'd perforated our new brand new sonar dome on the hull. And the XO who was standing on the bridge when we did it, all of a sudden he wasn't on board anymore. And the captain went through a whole bunch of shit. But he remained because he was in his cabin with his wife and son when we ran aground. And I was just out on the deck, just, you know, enjoying the sunshine kind of shit. And it was kind of fun. They brought another cutter out to try and put a towing hawser on us and pull us off the sandbar backwards. And we pulled the towing hawser, which was like a 8-inch diameter nylon rope. And they pulled on it so hard that it stretched and started smoking, steaming, and melted plastic into our towing bit on our stern. But we were there till the tide came in and lifted us off.
Boy,
Jesus. By the way, Lee in New York says, bad naval navigator. It was a Russian plot. The pilot was
That's what it was?
Yeah, the pilot was Pavel Chekhov, obligatory Star Trek reference.
Okay.
Captain was terrible. We hit the mountain. Ay, 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 ay.
I don't care. You know, captain of submarine, that's pretty high up the ladder. But what is that old saying? A million attaboys can be wiped out by with just one aw shit moment.
Yeah, that's true. And what did Kennedy say? Success has 1,000 fathers, but failure is an orphan.
Oh, it's an orphan. Nobody's there, baby. Good luck with that.
Good.
Yeah.
But so just to throw in here as we enter the third hour of the program, even though I got a late start, we're down to like 1875 for fundraising. If we could do another five, if there are five people out there, or if there are $500 worth of folks out there, that would at least finish this week's fundraising, more or less. And
you heard that sigh in her voice.
Well, it's, I mean, it's worrisome. You know, it is just, it's worrisome, because
we live the same way. If it wasn't for the Blue Dot family, if it wasn't for the support we get there, you know, the electric bill's not going to get paid. I'm going to pucker up because trying to make the mortgage pay.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is the community family out here that provides that income. And believe me, I don't think Robin's taking a cruise anywhere. You know, we're not living high on the hog. We don't have a shelter outside.
No. The place that we were going to be living had blood on the floor and dead roaches everywhere.
Yes, yeah.
I don't
make the bills, baby. So that's what your donation does. It makes the bills so Robin can be here when she gets done with her adventure here, her transformation.
And it's going to happen. Today was pre-op, John.
Was it?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
So I received notice from Houston that the pre-launch checklist has been completed, and the vehicle is being fueled. They told
me. You know, I have so much difficulty with this because I know the physics of what we're going through here, but in my heart, Robin, you're just going to be transformed into what you already are.
Right. Yeah,
you're not changing who you are.
I put up a post the other day that this is another step out of steps that I've taken over the course of the last year in my own salvation.
There you go, baby.
It's
more of a celebration of you finally being exactly who you are.
But it is, but it is going to be, it is going to be a challenge because, you know, like I said, I hope to be on the air Monday. We're going to test the rig. I brought my wireless microphone with me. I got to remember to buy batteries.
Get batteries.
And a lot of them, because it takes like four double A's every program for that wireless mic, or maybe two. No, that's four, I think. Maybe two. But anyway, so that I can be propped up somewhere, and you know, I don't know how much ranting and raving I'm going to be able to do, because I got to let that musculature kind of get back to where it wants to be.
As Travis would say, do a chill chat. Just
do
chill.
Hi, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I start out that way, and then, I don't know, 5 minutes in, I'm screaming something.
Oh, I know. I don't know if you've done this or not yet, John. It is a different thing, even without what I'm about to do. It's a different thing to broadcast on the road. So because you can't sit in a hotel room and just scream at the top of your lungs.
Oh, they got neighbors. Thin walls, too.
Yeah.
Margaret, did you hear what's going on next door? I think that lady over there is nuts.
Marveline, there may be liberals next door.
I think there's over there. I think
they. We thought
John's about ready to go on the boat broadcast.
Yeah, you've got your blue dot reunion coming up.
Within 8 days, I think we got before our blue dot family meeting up in San Antonio, Texas. We'll be at the Courtyard Marriott there at Market Square on the 12th, 13th, and 14th. So yes, if you're in the San Antonio area. Come by, and we're gonna do some live shows.
Lord, now, I wish I would.
I would love the Riverwalk going live.
I would love nothing more than to be there for something like that. I think that would be an absolute blast.
We're looking at kicking the butt. We're gonna just let things go where we're gonna go. No tacos are on the agenda. Margaritas are on the agenda.
Ooh.
Sitting around with some fine discussions, strolling down the Riverwalk, stuff like that. Just what you do expect at any other family reunion. So, yes, we are definitely looking forward to it. I wish you could be there. I wish you could, Robin.
Well, perhaps another time.
You will be there in spirit, will you not?
I absolutely will be there in spirit. There's no there you couldn't go. You couldn't keep me away from there. Thank you very kindly. I think that was Benjamin just jumped in. Thank you, Benjamin. That's very thank kind you, of you. And we're down to 1860.
1860.
Yeah. So
we're getting farther. Yeah. We're getting farther back in history. We're going forward.
You know what? This is a good time to go backwards. That wasn't a good time.
It was
a backwards time.
Hell, let's go down to zero. The year zero. Let's get to the year zero. Who's been to year zero anyway? You read it in about a bunch of books in there. But we could take this donation and run it right back down to say.
Wouldn't that just be something? I tell you what, they're going to call me sometime Monday, John, and tell me what time to show up at the hospital. Sunday, I have to go for a COVID test. I know I left West Virginia COVID clean. Not a lot of fondness for masks down here. Although Agnes was halfway amazed. We were downtown Birmingham, and we were stopped, and a bunch of students at University of Alabama Birmingham were in the crosswalk, and John, every one of them had a mask on. That's the damnedest thing.
See? There's miracles all over the place.
She said, look, Robin, smart people.
Smart people.
I said, well, it is.
Down here in Alabama.
Yeah.
Lord, praise be to whoever that is that did that.
And everybody in that facility is just so kind and so sweet. And I mean, they didn't misgender me once. It was miss and ma'am all the way through.
Good.
Good. It was a beautiful thing.
I'm not mistaken.
Pardon?
Oh, the city of Birmingham has a mask ordinance.
Yes, it does.
And Limahl's not getting involved in it. That's what I heard last. That's why you see all the masks.
Yeah, Governor Limahl's staying out of it.
Right now, they're passing laws to stop this Biden OSHA stuff. It's coming.
I'll bet I know why.
Don't want none of that safety stuff around here.
I'll bet I know why Meemaw's not getting involved.
Why is that?
Because Nick Saban has been very pro-mask, and I'll bet Nick Saban said, Meemaw, me or you, who do you think's more popular?
I make more money than you do.
Yeah, who's got more money?
Very true. I make more money.
Oh, but I tell you what, one thing I did notice, the interstate travel was all on I-65 for the most part. They got a Senate election coming up next year, and one candidate is already she's got to jump on things, and I'm always so glad to see that there's somebody's running who might wind up winning that has a name that I can work with. And so there are no Mo Brooks, Les Brames billboards anywhere. Didn't see any, but
that's good.
But Katie Britt, B-R-I-T-T, Katie Britt has billboards, I mean, all over the place. She must have some serious, I don't know, oil.
Richard Shelby's chief of
big
staff.
Big Pharma, yeah. And so I pointed at one of them as we were coming up the road, and I said, look, honey, a Britiot.
A Britiot.
And so she's just beaming down at Alabama from her billboard perch there. And I've seen some clips of her talking about how she's the true maggot candidate. She really loves Donald Trump, because that's going to be the signature issue. How much do you love Donald Trump? I love me some Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump more than you do.
Does she have the requisite brown ring around her nose where her I'm sure where she's she does. Been up his ass?
Yeah, that's contouring. That's what that is. That's maggot contouring.
I'm sorry. That's,
in the last year or so, I've learned a little bit of contouring.
But hey, by the way, can I ask you something, Robin?
You can ask me anything you want. It's a regular joint, Steve.
I sent you an email. A day or two. It was a bit of a rant, but it was actually fairly well written, unlike most of my rants, about that the person in Virginia saying that Biden has overstepped his mandate and blah 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 blah. And did you see that?
I confess, Steve, I've been a little bit off the radar for a couple of days.
Because you ain't got nothing going on.
And that was precisely
really,
the point.
Really, how lazy can you? Yeah.
That was precisely the point.
CW's got his hand raised.
Okay. Thank you. Once again, we proved that I can't see when hands are raised, because I see CW, but I don't see no hands.
That's the same problem. Somebody has to point out somebody over there.
I appreciate it. But
I see him at the top.
Yeah, the idea that overstepped is me. Oh, please. Yeah, these are God. How many times do I have to say it? They're freaking bioterrorists.
I want to send. I mean, this is a Democrat who said this.
Andrew,
I want to send it to you because I want it.
Yeah, resend it. I need to see that.
Because you're much more politically savvy than I am. Or you have insight that I just don't have, and I just wonder if it's – and when I send you things, I'll say things like, is it me or am I right here? And this was one of those emails. Let me find it, and I'll forward it back to you.
Okay, thanks. And Hey Sailor sent me some notes saying, congrats on being able to be who you really are. I feel badly that our country cannot accept persons who were born into the wrong body. All of it is nobody's business. Wish folks born into the wrong sex could act before puberty. That's the whole thing with the attacks on trans kids, because, you know, the maggots, the Republicans, the good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christians of the world would like to erase us. If they could send us all off to a camp, I'm pretty sure they would, if they could get away with it.
Yeah.
But you know, in many, I've taken it because it's really hard to. Like I've said before, I don't need anybody to understand me, because I don't understand it myself. What I need is acceptance, and what we all need is acceptance. And it's not just trans people, it's everybody. We just need to be accepted for the flawed little human beings that we are. Acceptance is everything.
Three fucking men.
Well, the trans people, we're all flawed, I know. But.
Well, thank you, John. And yeah, I wasn't. I don't think my transness is a flaw. I think as humans, we struggle, if we're doing it right, we struggle to be better people.
If you ever listen to my show, and I hope somebody has
and
out
I
there,
have.
You will hear me occasionally say,
We the people. There's no asterisk in there. This is not a question for anybody's ass as to who is accepted in this society. It's not up to you. It really isn't. Whether somebody is gay, transgender, transsexual, I don't give a shit.
Straight.
It's not. Yeah, straight. It's not up to you. You're not involved in the question.
And it wasn't up to anybody.
No.
You know, that's the one thing that's the hardest to get across to some people is that it's not a fucking choice.
No.
No, it's not. And, you know, I've gotten to
that. This is who you are.
I've read and studied as much as I possibly could over the years. My dear friend, and that was one of the sweetest things. I got to see my dear friend Terry Ellen while we were down there. We had dinner two nights in a row, Agnes and Terry and me, and it was just so delightful to see her. Oh my God, it was just wonderful. Because, you know, we've only known each other for 40 plus years.
Ah. Newly friends.
And, you know, we got to talking the other night about the things that we were reading and the things that we were seeing, trying to figure out why we were like we were, you know, way back. I mean, we're talking about 1973, 1974, 1975. What the hell is going on here? Why is this? And I pointed out that the first time I actually found the word transsexual was in Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask. Hugely popular bestseller of the, I think, 1960s, 1970s. And, of course, it was in the section marked abnormal. You know, straight out of Young Frankenstein. And whose brain is this, Igor? Abby normal. It's not. Thank God that much of it has gone away. But I've read enough to realize that this is about brain chemistry. This is about having girl brain and boy body. And so my brain has been at war with my body for 58 years. And now we're going to square them up. And my brain is going to get to find out what it feels like to be properly configured. Are. Properly configured. In the right space. And it is a hell of a thing to go through. But, you know, I was there at the pre-op and everything. I'm not nervous. I'm not. I would kind of hate it. I would kind of hate it if I died on the table or something because I don't want to leave anybody. I love my life. You know, the good, the bad, that's why I got the little tattoo that I got. This moment, never again. You know, forever. And I look at it and I remember. Yesterday, looking at the cockroaches, the blood on the bathroom floor, the stench of the dog urine in that god-awful hotel, I looked at that tattoo and said, this is part of it. Be here. Be in this moment. Live it. Because this ain't dress rehearsal. And by the way, Hey Sailor said, I've never been in a decent extended stay motel. Not worth the savings. Disgusting. And apparently they are. Because I looked up some other ones, and the reviews are equally just, you know, oh, my God, don't stay here. But,
you know, TW's making noise. Hey, trying to get your
hey, okay, yeah, go, TW. Attention. Go, TW.
I got to say about Lowen Bobart, when you guys were talking about her. She's under investigation here because she's used some of her funds to pay for some underhanded dealings that she owed, like, on her restaurant in Rifle, Colorado. So,
oh, she paid off her Cisco bill with her campaign money?
She's kind of in some deep shit right now.
How about that?
Campaign money to pay her electric bill or her personal bill or something?
Kind of like to pay off something to do with a loan that she took out that she was having trouble paying back.
Yeah, what's the name of that place? What's the name of that place out there? What is it, the Gutshot Grill or something?
What is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I wouldn't put it this way. I wouldn't take Mork to go to her restaurant and feed him.
No.
Mork thanks you for that, TW.
Yeah, Mork is grateful from the great beyond, having been called home to
Ork. Yeah, Ork. That's where Mork was from. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jude.
He's talking about his dog.
Yeah, my dog is named Mork.
Ah. No, I was thinking about the original Mork.
Yep. Part of the, he's part of the Blue Dot Show.
Yep.
Mork, when you Mork. Used to say, he used to say, fuck Trump, yeah. He'd bark.
He barked.
Nice.
Smart dog.
Yes. Good
he's
boy.
He's a smart
good
Blue boy. Dot dog.
Yeah, that's all I had to say. And nice being on tonight.
Well, thanks,
can
Steve.
You lower
it's
your
good
hand
to hear from you, my friend.
I can't do it. It bugs me.
I'll lower it. Just give me a minute here. I'm still not supper.
The thing I hate about this new Skype.
They took away your lightsaber?
No, they took away my... I can still mute people, but I can't lower their hands.
Can't
yeah, he can't push. He can't smack him on the knuckles anymore and go, you.
Put your hand down.
Oh, I had a note from Jude, and yes, I mentioned Jude at the beginning of the program, Jude. Thank you for jumping in yesterday. Jude says, acceptance. There is a sense that acceptance arrives through those who place their bodies on the line. You, dear Robin, are one of its remarkable hollow bones, wide open to the authenticity of being, not meant for the faint of heart either. No, when I started this, it's like, well, okay, I get a chance to finally work on my makeup and some fashion skills. And it's like, no, you got to go to the doctor, and you got to take a lot of medicine, and you got to go to the doctor some more, and you got to jump through hoops and make insurance companies happy. And, oh, God.
So much fun, huh?
No, it's a blast. But you know what? It is a blast to be authentic. It absolutely is. And I'm working, you know. I posted from some pictures of Agnes and me and Terry and Agnes and from down at the beach, and it was just delightful. It was now we did get some looks. I got some looks. Agnes,
I bet you did. I seen the pictures.
Well, not
I
those.
Bet you're turning plenty of heads.
No, not in that way. I walked into Publix right at night because I was jonesing for pimento cheese spread. Yes, I do that. Sorry, no, I was in Rouse's, and I just turned a corner of one of the aisles, and there was just another shopper there. I'd say he was about my age, and just, my God in heaven, I came very close, but I'm working on my manners. I wanted to say, hey, bub, you know, drop it down into the broadcast voice. Hey, bub, take a picture. It'll last longer. But I didn't. Because, well, I realized where I am, and there's a considerable difference here, but being here, there really is, as compared to, you know, back home in West Virginia. I don't get funny looks in West Virginia. I don't get anything. It's just, and maybe it's because I've been part of the community for so long. But we had an interaction with a clerk at
or
Walgreens.
Maybe West Virginia is a little bit more progressive than what it's portrayed to be.
Yeah, it might just be. It might just be.
Well, that's why you're working on them, baby.
Yeah,
every day.
I mean, yeah. The legislature did pass an anti-trans kids sports bill, but that's probably going to be struck down by the courts, and the attorney general's
yeah,
going to cost
too.
Us a few million dollars. You know, but what's a few million dollars? I mean, in a dirt poor state like West Virginia, right? We got money to throw away on stupid, unconstitutional legislation. Why not?
Why not?
Don't Robin, need no you just damn admitted family you missed leave, another. Though.
Okay, one at a time.
Go ahead, John.
No. I was trying to make it funny. That's all. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Robin, you just missed another generic Miss Doubtfire moment. I mean, you know, like when he screams, back off, asshole.
Yeah, well.
And scares the guy away.
Right. Exactly.
It's a good thing we don't rely on other people to make us what we are.
No.
Because we'd be a pitiful society. I'm just so proud of you. Robin, I admired you from the first time I ever came on your show, when the first time I heard you, the intelligence, the articulate manner in which you are able to convey a message. I envy that. The voices in your head, the voices that come out of your mouth, quoting things from, I don't know, Homer and stuff.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, there's that. I've been impressed, and I want you to be happy, because it's going to be that happy voice that keeps that momentum going, that we have to keep pushing. That
right,
West Virginia is a little bit more progressive than you think, and we do have a shot all over this country. We just have to raise awareness to it.
We got
to
want it. We have to want it.
Yes.
This is the same thing that coaches tell players. You know, you got to want it more than the other side does.
That's it.
And that's where
your job and my job come. I grab my pom poms every day because I'm going to get out there and try to cheer this team on.
I need to order some of those up. Blue and white, reckon?
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue. Get that patriotic thing. Play some patriotic music in the background too. You know, fire off some fireworks. You know.
Yeah. As long as it's not Lee Greenwood, I can't do that.
No. No, I draw a line. You have to mean something. I'm more with the old song, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Yep.
And that's what we have to stand up as Americans. Every one of you out there listening, you have to stand up for Robin's rights. You have to, because Robin's going to have to stand up for yours. That's the way it works. That's the way a society works. That's the way freedom works. That's how shared sacrifice works. That old saying that we used to have, e pluribus unum.
Out of many, one.
One. That's when we come together. That's when we have the most massive power of any country in the world. We are smaller than China. Ain't got near the people. They overrun us in a heartbeat, baby. But it's our unity that makes our country strong. If we lose that, being chipped away every day by somebody saying transgender people don't have a right, bullshit. This is America, baby. Everybody here has the same rights. And until we all fight for those same rights, you don't belong. You don't deserve yours. How could you expect to have yours?
When the rights of anyone are at hazard, the rights of all are at hazard.
Indeed. So that's the reason. That's the reason that we have to come together. And on a patriotic theme, it's why I ask you to donate to Robin's show. That's why we do this, because it is a patriotic mission that she is on. It's a rough road, baby. It's a rough road where she lives. It's a damn rough road where I fucking live.
No shit.
It's not easy for your neighbors to hate you. It's not easy to have people condemn you and want to attack you. And Robin goes through that shit. They're the guy at the grocery store. There's always going to be somebody.
Yeah, always.
It needs to be somebody else standing there go, no, 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 no. Uh-uh. She's my friend.
Exactly.
She's my friend too, John.
There you go, baby.
Absolutely.
I have a question.
Yes.
And I've been listening and surfing in the interwebs, and you know why, Robin. I think I might have found something, so heads up, here, you know, keep your head up. But I have a couple of my teachers that I admire greatly, and I don't know if they're anti-vaxxers or something, but it's just, we were in class yesterday, and so there's a mandate on at CSUN and pretty much all, and I guess all the Cal States, that you either have to be vaccinated or you have to get tested weekly. Now, there's this huge push next semester for everybody to go back on campus, which I think is a mistake. I think it should be more gradual. And I think also, because it's affecting, there's a lot of students that once COVID hit, they went back home to different states, different cities, where it's not feasible for them to, you know, get back to school. And so I really feel that the class should be, there's some departments that are doing what they call flex classes, where the students who want to be in class can go to class, but the other students can stay off campus and still do Zoom. I guess they'll have like projectors or what have you, but the technology is there. Because, see, it's not so much they want us on campus because of the, you know, that lived collegiate college experience.
No, they want the money. Revenue.
there, I mean, just the parking alone, I was sitting in my car. I had two focus groups back to back, plus a meeting on Zoom. So there was no point in me going to the classroom. So I sat in my car, and the parking guy came around. He's like, I said, well, I'm sitting here until it's my class time because I'm not going to give you extra money just so I can go up in campus. He's like, oh, okay. But, you know, the revenue that they're losing for parking, because typically, well, Fridays are, you know, are pretty quiet days on most college campuses anyway. I wouldn't know. I'm just talking from experience because this is my first semester. I only have one class on campus. It happens to be on a Friday. But on those times before COVID, and I would go up to CSUN to do whatever, you could, I mean, I have to say they do a pretty damn good thing with parking. There's a lot of structures. But if you got there at a certain time, it took you a minute to get into the parking structure and park and, you know, all that. So I can't even imagine how much money they're losing on just the parking fees. Plus, they're talking, you know, like the student, like the different food places and stores.
Dorms.
And stuff, you know, and the door. Oh, there's a ton of money that they're losing. And like for me, there's a couple of classes that I wanted to take for, I mean, I only have, thank God, four units for next semester, and I'm graduated. But in order for me to get my, you know, to get financial aid, I had to go full time. So I'm looking for classes online or that fit my schedule, because the classes that I want to take, like I have this semester, they get out at 3:15, which is fine because I can sit in my car and then at 3 o'clock go get the kids, but still be in class. But if I gotta be on campus until 3:15, there's no way I can get to work. You know? And it's like, but the thing is, back to my teachers, you know, about the shared sacrifice and the anti-vaccinations. And they're like, yeah, I was at a city council meeting because, you know, in L.A., you have to now, if you're going to go inside bars and stuff like that, you have to show proof of vaccination, a negative test, and you have to have your ID and all that. And so this woman's like, one of my teachers said, well, a queer Hispanic woman at one of the city council meetings was saying, she, you know, she's fully vaccinated, but she feels that it's an infringement on other people's rights. And she did that, you know, when they came for the socialists, I said, I'm like, no, it's not the same. That's a false equivalency. You know, it's like people are fucking dying. My life I lost a year and a half of work just because fuckers wouldn't wear a goddamn mask. And now we can, you know, we can be out of this shit, you know, just get a goddamn shot and then a booster. I mean, I just don't get it enough to remember the polio thing, but when it came down to it, people got their shot. Hell, when we went
but
to
you
school,
get, but hey, you got to remember, Nicki Minaj's cousin, her boyfriend got the shot, and his balls all swelled up. And Nicki Minaj's cousin's boyfriend's fiance done called off the wedding.
See?
I love that. See? Yeah.
See there.
And, oh, I know.
You
know.
Hi, Tracy.
I know.
Hey, baby. I did a round table, my very first round table, on Tuesday, and it was talking about the power of
how many people were at the round table.
I think there were four or five. I was one of the panelists. I was the only student panelist. Everybody else were alumni. And there were like 40 people, I think, or 50 people watching it, which was pretty good considering that we didn't really publicize it like we should have. But for two, and it was 2 hours. and people stayed for the whole 2 hours. But one of the roundtable was about activism and advocacy and, you know, the social media thing. And I said, because I said, I don't really have a strong social media presence. I'm on Facebook, you know, usually the last time I was on Facebook and actually I think posted something was to thank people for wishing me a happy birthday back in July. And the next post probably won't be until next year when I announce when I'm graduating. Other than that, I'm not on there. I said my activism and my advocacy goes like when I'm on this show or when I have people, you know, in my cab and they're a captive audience and they can't get out. Well, they can get out. I just pull over and say, get the fuck out if you want me. You don't like what I got to say. But it's that the thing about what's bothering me about the social media, about that Nicki Minaj thing, is that that's the only place people are getting their information.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's part of why Facebook is killing America.
It's killing
and,
America.
And Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter, because I think even if they were trying, they couldn't stop this stuff. And they're not trying that hard.
They're not trying at all. But here's the thing about one of the people on one of the panelists, she was talking about how the policing and the censorship, she was whenever as a black woman, and she has a nonprofit, but every time she tries to do a political posting or something that they deem, oh, well, you're not a political organization, so you can't post this. And I'm like, so we can post, people can post about Nicki Minaj's cousin and about, white folks can post about the lie about critical race theory. But when black people try to post the truth, all of a sudden, well, we can't have that. I'm like, these motherfuckers. Say it, Robin, say it in Latin.
Hic mater copulator.
Exactly. And it's just, even when we try as black people to try to do things, you know, it's the roundtable was called Louder Than a Hashtag. And when we try to speak our truth, we're censored. We don't have the same rights as the NRA or the Boogaloo Boys or the Proud Boys and you know, skinheads and stuff like that because, I don't know. Oh, yeah, black.
Ding. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I need to send out some thanks. Thank you very kindly wait just a second. Stupid machine. Thank you so very kindly to Bernadette and to John, and thank you to Silence. We are down to, 1820. So what that means is we're going back in time, John Bredevaux, $320, and we are fully funded for this week.
Thank you. Thank you all who donated.
Thank you. So thank you. Yeah. Again, Silence and Bernadette and John, thank you. And everybody else who's jumped in there, thank you so much. And
Bernadette's a sweetie.
Oh, she is. And she has done so much for our pain, you know, whether it's my neck or Agnes's. And
she's done a lot for my pain. And she's helped Bernadette is my go-to. You know, she knows when I'm down and having problems, and she does. She comes on the show. When she's on the show, I immediately perk up. There's Bernadette. Okay, I can go down.
And so
let's go. Let's get in.
And
I think we figured that out, John.
Yeah. She's because I admire her for a lot of different reasons. You know, she's quite a person, and she makes a hell of a salve.
Oh yeah,
does she
does.
Not?
She does. She so does. She that does. Stuff works. That works so magnificently.
I always imagine her in her kitchen.
My toes with little aren't so
animated bluebirds flying around her singing a song and stuff like mm-hmm. that while she dances in the kitchen making her. Yeah, that's burning. Hey,
what did you say, Sparky? Your toes don't hurt anymore?
Yeah. had a problem down there, and I put that salve on it.
Well, that's why she named it the salve for what ails you. If it hurts, whatever hurt, it will help.
Yes, yes, and there are plenty of testimonials to that effect. So if you're thinking about it, contact Bernadette at PreesTrees@asis.com. That's PreesTrees at asis.
ASIS.
Dot com.
PreesTrees at asis.com. You will not be disappointed.
No.
You will be overjoyed, in fact.
That shit works.
And so, I'm watching it, and I see Bernadette come through and Silence and John. And then all of a sudden an email popped into my box and it said, I should probably leave that alone. It said, I want you to have this. And I was like, what? And I clicked it. Stupid me.
What?
Fred, you have always been an...
Now, this is email that was sent to me.
You've always been an incredible patriot.
I have.
And I want to offer you something special. I hand-signed a baseball.
Sure you did.
While I was in Atlanta watching the game, and I want to make sure it's given to one of my best supporters. My team told me you rank among the top in every category, so I'm determined to give this baseball to only the most loyal of my supporters. I need you to keep this email confidential, friend.
See, that's why I'm saying.
It's only meant for you. Please contribute any amount immediately and enter to win a baseball signed by yours truly. That's right. It's a picture of it. It's a picture of a baseball. And the baseball is in a little Lucite case. And it's got that very signature that looks like a Klan meeting. So when you get it, you can take the baseball out and you can put little eye holes on all the little Klan hoods.
He's hustling a baseball.
What a mark.
Dogging nobody wanted you there.
And the maggots will fall for it. Meanwhile, Randy Radar puts up an inquiry here. I keep coming back to this question. Why isn't Nancy Pelosi funding liberal media? And I keep coming to the following conclusion. She doesn't want to give up that sweet Wall Street cash. No. The fact of the matter is members of Congress can't fund liberal media. And it would be – the rules are actually, if you're following them, kind of strict. They can't even lean on somebody and say, hey, why don't you give John Bruno a cool million? John would be happy with a quarter million. Can't do that. You can't do that. Republicans
– the NRA gives a bunch of money to Republicans.
Sure, but that's
Gifford is suing the NRA.
Anybody clamoring at your door to give you money, Robin?
No, because I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive, and we're supposed to do it for the love of.
Right. In essence, we do. Yeah. But we also have to live. We have to make a living. You have to do something. I can't go to Walmart being a greeter anymore. I understood they did away with that job.
They did away with that. I'm still looking for that.
So retirement plan.
If West Virginia had Costco's, I would immediately apply for that job, from Idiocracy, where you stand there and say, welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
We had a little miracle on my show the other night. And, it overwhelmed me. And Bernadette was no small part of that, too. So, again, to all of those who donate, a huge thank you from me personally, because this is not easy. And it humbles Robin every time she has to come on here and remind you that she's got bills and she's got to pay them.
But you know what, John? One of the beautiful things is, over on the other side, the fascist side, the goose-stepping side, the maggot side, they constantly have to battle with one another to out-crazy each other, But if one maggot talker says that there's a pedophile sex ring operating out of a Democratic pedophile sex ring operating out of a pizza parlor in D.C. out of the basement of a pizza parlor in D.C. that doesn't have a basement, the next maggot talker has to say, "Well, yeah, sure, but did you know that they flay the skin off of them and make little like." Bracelets out of their skin. And the next one says, bracelets, hell, they sit down and they eat the children's flesh. And we don't have to do that. All we have to do is deal with the facts. And those people are constantly in competition. And one of the beautiful things, John, is that I don't believe in competition. I believe the world needs more, not less. The world needs John Prideaux. The world needs the Horn. The world needs my buddy Rick Smith. The world needs Nicole Sandler. We need, because cable and the for-profit media are never going to be interested in what we have to say, because we actually speak truth to power. We speak truth to the people who don't want to hear it. I don't mean our communities. I mean, we speak
truth. We're talking to our family around the table now.
Yeah, but
this is it. This is where Americans gather up and discuss what's going on in the day, have a chuckle or two, learn something.
But CNN and MSNBC, God knows, Fox News, TV, Radio Rwanda, nobody wants to hear people pull the curtain back on, for instance, the role that multimillionaire media plays in our ongoing struggles just to hang on to what we've got. I mean, the laziness, the bad journalism. I mean, we have entire evenings that are just devoted to bad journalism, and I'm not talking about bad word choice or poor copy editing. I'm talking about completely missing the message, completely missing the point.
You can't spell for shit.
Can I make a correction?
Sure.
We don't gather around a table. We gather around the old holler tree.
The old holler tree.
Gather in the old holler tree around the extraordinary ordinary.
Is there not a table inside the
tree? Yes, there's an extraordinary ordinary round table. It's in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves.
There you go. I rest my case.
Where's my cookies at then?
I'll tell you what. I honestly, I'm going to give kudos to Spark, because he comes over to our show a lot, and we thoroughly enjoy having him. He has become a regular over there, and Jeremy comes up over there. Ben, there's a lot of the Horn family.
Cross pollination.
Yes,
and Sparky is the chief cross pollinator.
He is indeed. So kudos to you, Spark. That's enough of that shit. Just order you something.
And by the
way, I see how I write songs for your thing. Okay, I write John Prideaux. No.
Did you say order you something?
Just go ahead, order something. They'll deliver it right to your house. I know how this
game. Yeah, but I told you the news the other night.
Hey, guess what?
My city is going to vote on a marijuana ordinance next week.
To your house.
What, to do away
bring
with
it right to the
you already
house.
Got it.
No, to have a dispensary.
Oh. So it will be
they
closer.
Want the money.
Sure they
of
do.
Of course they
do. They finally wised up.
That some people might recognize who I'm talking about. Today I did have a conversation on the phone for the first time. I've been communicating with this person for years. As a matter of fact, I wear his artwork on my T-shirt. His artwork is behind me on my show. He is a staple of the Blue Dot, especially during the resistance. We call him the Picasso of the resistance. His name is Thomas Morgan. And for today, for the first time, I got to speak to him. Because when I first communicated with him, he sent me artwork, which is just amazing. And he sent me a message. Here's my number. Text only. Don't call. Okay. Well, for years, I just text. Until just recently, and I texted him, I talked to him. He said, well, my phone's always open. Really? Well, dinga, dinga, dinga. So I called him up today. I think we're going to try to get him on the show. Some of his artwork is just, it's amazing. I want to crawl in his head. But on the note that we were on, guess what he told me, Spark?
Yeah, delivery. Shit, we got strippers that deliver.
Really? You got strippers that deliver pot to your house?
Yeah.
Really? It's California.
It's just an unfair world.
It's not fair, Robin.
John, you got to move.
Believe me. Strippers delivering pot to your house.
You'd be like Jed Clement. Got to move to Beverly and get the pot. To
Beverly, yeah. It's just unfair. It's unfair.
Yeah,
today being Beer and Bud Friday,
Jethro gets
enjoy
a dime
your
bag.
Beer, enjoy your bud, enjoy your weekend, baby. That's what I always say.
Hear, hear. And, I'm going to spend the next couple of days just getting my mind right. You got to get your mind right.
That's what they keep saying.
And and you know, one of the reasons I won't be broadcasting while I am in the hospital is A, they would probably object. And B, I've long ago made a promise of no Limbaugh radio, and I will be enjoying some of the things that back when he was on this planet and before he went to study the fine art of pineappling in hell. you know, he was chewing up OxyContins for the refreshing burst of flavor. And I'm told that they are very serious about not wanting people to hurt post op. And so I'll probably be like, yeah, cool.
Wise advice.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, what? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, at the risk of possibly opening the microphone and starting to talk about the monkey jellyfish hybrids, or the gay transsexual frogs like Alex Jones does, yeah, your fellow Texan, John.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, I know, because I love you.
Reminding me.
Yeah.
You got Joe Manchin.
Oh, damn it, that stings. But instead of doing that, you know, I'm just going to say, hey, I got stuff to read, and I'm just going to hang around and do what I'm told, and probably whine a little bit when I hurt, and hopefully and I told him today, I said, no morphine. I'm not kidding.
Lying.
No morphine, because morphine gives me a horrible headache. It's like,
you don't want morphine.
Yeah, here, we'll give you some morphine to take away the pain somewhere else, only you'll have a splitting headache, so the splitting headache makes you forget about the pain. No, let's don't do that.
And a lot of places, they'll give you a button yourself. You can push it. Anytime you need some more, just push the button.
Yeah, no.
It's only an outpatient surgery. What's the big deal?
Yeah, right, exactly, because, you know, Lee press on hoo-hoo, and I'm out the door. Yeah.
Did you bring your own corn cob to bite down on, dear, or do we have to provide you with one?
Well, we'll have to pre-cert that with the insurance company, John. You know,
yeah. Need some leather.
Ben has his hand up.
Okay, go, Ben.
Hey, Robin, I'm glad everything's going your way now, and I'm glad you're going to finally get this done to save your life. And you know what, John? I think it's time. I agree. I think it's time for you to move out to California near Sparky and become his neighbor and get away from those assholes.
I'm figuring up there around Spark, Bernadette, somewhere up in there. You know, I can't.
Yeah.
Because it would give my neighbors too much pleasure.
I just want to put out that everything Robin's ever told you guys is all true about what she's going through. It's before you acknowledge what it is, it's an emotional stress. It weighs on you heavily that people never know. They can't see it. You don't acknowledge it, but it changes who you are. It changes how you think. It affects the life around you, the people around you. They never know because you don't tell them. So whatever she said is goddamn true. Never disbelieve it for a second.
And I'm only going on what I've in many instances.
Fine, Robin, to allow us along with her on this journey. She has allowed this Horn family to hear her inner thoughts, to hear her emotions that she's going to go to. Ah, what the hell is that? It's all right, dear. Anyway,
sorry, I couldn't help it. I heard inner thoughts, and I just couldn't help it. I had
But just by doing that, she has changed every one of you out there. You've learned more. You're more attuned to her, what she's going through. This benefits our society, having somebody as open as Robin to allow us into this process. So kudos to Robin, baby, that she's letting us do this.
Well, thank you, John. I started this thinking. You know, I want there to be less mystery surrounding this process, because it, you know, like, are you really going to get your no, not really, but you know, and along the way, you know, there's been a lot of fun too. I mean, them spike babes, and then this ensuing fun, honey, they weren't clocking you. She caught her old man staring at your chest.
Eyes up here, sailor.
And yeah, well, yes, ma'am, they are, but I'm trying to grow my own as fast as I can. Yeah, again, in the broadcast voice. And the looks on both of their faces was absolutely worth every bit of potential humiliation that I was feeling at that moment.
I want so much for you to come out the other side of this just as happy as a lark and enjoying your life. as who you are. That's what I want for you.
Oh.
Because when that happens, the passions that you have, regardless of whether it be in flowers and birds or in politics, baby, it's going to come through in your voice. It's going to come through in your passion. And I want you to be free enough to use that to motivate all of us, to guide us, so that I can learn from you. And I continue to
we will continue to take the journey together, and maybe perhaps with more more detail than some people want to hear, because there's some stuff on the way that is not going to be.
I want you to be much happier and healthier when this is done.
I hope to too, and I mean I've already got a to do list. Once we're done, you know,
what I don't want her to be is broke when she comes out the other end. So please, again, if you have it, and I know, as I said before, one of y'all is fixing to hit the lotto. I know it. We all can feel it. One of you is fixing to hit the lotto. So keep Robin in mind when you do, and if you don't hit the lotto, and you have a few bucks to spare, please. Please consider donating it here to the Horn family, because it's needed and it's appreciated, and it will help this journey that Robin's on go a little bit easier. Please.
Well, thank you, John, and thanks to everybody who has jumped in and helped out. That note that Steve was talking about from earlier.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I've got it. I'm looking at it, and of course, it was. It's a column from the most consistently wrong person in the multimillionaire for-profit media, in my book, Chris Saliza. This guy, you know, he's a walking manifestation of the Peter Principle. If you recall the Peter Principle, that was the idea that a person rises to the highest level of their own incompetence, and so. In regard to the elections last Tuesday, he writes, well, there's been a lot of grumbling and finger-pointing among Democrats in the wake of the loss of the Virginia governor's race and razor-thin win in New Jersey's gubernatorial contest, but no one offered a more cutting and honest assessment of exactly what happened than Virginia Representative Abigail Spanberger in an interview with the New York Times, recently declared by Joe Scarborough to be a bastion of progressivism for over 100 years. No, he really said that with a straight face. Nobody elected him to be FDR. They elected him.
You're going to make me choke, goddammit.
I know. Spanberger said of Biden.
Robin, that sounded like a good Mitch McConnell.
Spanberger said of Biden, nobody elected him to be FDR. They elected him to be normal and stop the chaos. And what Steve writes, and I think trenchantly, the one thing this toad, Saliza, fails to point out is why the Democratic centrist is such an idiot, is that everything that is in the two bills they're working on is popular. Why is it that Democrats do shit like this? When we have the power, we must act. The Supreme Court selected George W. Bush after he received less votes than the popular vote and barely won the electoral vote. The Senate was 51-49 GOP in 2001 until June 6, 2001, when it flipped. Bush et al. Passed the rich takeaway and the poor get took tax on June 7th, 2001. The House was a little more GOP at 229 to 204. I'll venture you did not hear one Republican saying, we only control the Senate 51-49 and didn't win the popular vote and had a contested election. Let's move slowly. Oh, hell no, they don't do that. Steve said, let's remember something. Biden won the presidency, the Democrats won the House, and the Democrats won the Senate on the strength of winning Georgia's electoral votes and both of their senators. It is shit like this that makes me think that Democrats say they want to govern but are afraid or are just incapable of doing so, or both. Please tell me I'm wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Timidity means this. We lose every fucking time. And, you know, we've talked about that brief window of opportunity. Lyndon Johnson had it. FDR had it. Abraham Lincoln had it. But they close very quickly, and the opportunity to get anything done disappears. So I come back to my thesis again. If you want what we say we want, if you want paid family leave, for instance, don't come at me pissing and moaning about Joe Manchin. I'll do that. I'll do plenty of that for all of us.
But hey, you know what I found out today?
What?
About Joe Manchin?
What?
He owns a Maserati.
Of course he does. Yeah, and a boat. And he's Joe Manchin,
capital
millionaire. He owns a mansion and a yacht.
Where's the dealership at?
Well, I mean,
they come to him.
But the bottom line is, don't waste time pissing and moaning about Joe Manchin. Get your asses out there and support enough senators to render Joe Manchin irrelevant. We have to
go.
Bust our asses to keep Raphael Warnock in the Senate. Bust our asses to keep Mark Kelly in the Senate in Arizona. And then we got to pick off one in, I don't know, Ohio, North Carolina, both of those. You know, if we could pick up four senators, we can make Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema irrelevant. We can never have to hear from them again. They can go back to the back bench and pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, which should be the most complex thing they are allowed to do in government.
There you go. Amen. That's what I've been preaching, the same thing.
Real quick, Robin, I have a question. I know Rick has his hand up. So was I on point with this?
Well, yeah, you are. Abigail Spanberger, I think if it was a different world, she probably would be a Republican. Because there is no such thing as a centrist Democrat. There's no such thing as a moderate Democrat. Yeah, my skin crawls and I get the fan tods every time some multimillionaire in the for-profit media says moderate Senator Joe Manchin. There is nothing moderate about Joe Manchin. He is a right-wing conservative Democrat, okay? Because the Democratic Party can have conservatives. It's just that the Republican Party can't have liberals. The Republican Party used to have liberals. There used to be liberal Republicans. That's how we got the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. Liberal Republicans.
I'm going to say one last thing that I'm going to shut up, probably sign off. What she said is akin to this. Texas A&M goes in, Alabama goes into Texas A&M, and Texas A&M, they line up for their final kick, and they say, you know what, we're actually not as good a team as Alabama, so we're just going to let them win.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's exactly what that's like.
Sure. Sure, and you know what? I would like to put the lie to her personally. I was voting for FDR because this country needs FDR-level solutions.
Oh, hell yeah.
And how dare her besmirch the memory of the man who saved millions of American lives with the New Deal and with Social Security? How dare she? How ignorant do you have to be of American history to slur FDR, the man who spearheaded a drive to help children with polio that eventually allowed Mitch McConnell to survive and live into his old age, and fuck America and fuck America and fuck America on and on and on. How dare she?
Not done yet.
Yeah, and he's not done yet. Hey, Billable Rick, go, man.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hanging in there.
Doing fine, Rick.
Good. Well, anyway, I just thought I'd weigh in quickly. I came down with a cold for the first time in 22 months, so I took the day off of work. So I've just been kind of, I took a turntable in to get repaired, and I had to get an oil change in the car, and some.
I can tell you're a little bit sinusy.
Yeah, a little bit nasally here. I got Bella with me here. She's Star's getting her nails done, and she's sitting here very attentively just outside of the nail salon making sure mommy's okay. So
that's another thing. The nails have to come off before surgery time. Because I can't have that for, when I go in. So that's unpleasant because my nails are a mess under the fake ones. I hope you get to feeling better. I think I just got kicked. I think I just got kicked from the conversation, dadgummit. Let me... pull that down and see what's going on here. I don't know if the call crashed. I've still got internet and everything here, so I don't know. But that being the case, it is about time to wrap up. I have no call audio. Go figure. Well, I hate to end on such a technical glitch, but I guess we're going to do that because I'm getting reconnected. Let's try this again.
Right.
Okay, there we go. I don't know what 1 minute I was talking and the next minute gone.
When you first said in the chat you got kicked, you're still showing on, and then all of a sudden he disappeared.
That's weird.
Something along with what Rick just said? And I know I said I was going to shut up, but we all know that
don't worry about it.
You know, we need to also keep this in perspective. If you this wasn't unexpected. I mean, look, if you look history, I got to think about this. I heard this that in the past 30 or 35 years or even more, there has been one time in which the party of the president won that race.
Virginia has their governor's race off years.
No, but what I'm saying is one out of the last 12 elections did the party in power actually win.
Right.
Yeah.
It goes back to 1980. President, the party of the president in power has lost both Virginia and New Jersey.
Right.
If anything, we bucked the trend because we won in New Jersey. And he was the first Democrat reelected in New Jersey in a million years. The real thing was the truck driver who beat the president of the Senate. That's the real thing.
That's the oddball story that you go, really? Yep, really. That's it. And I saw an interview with that guy, the truck driver. They asked him, what are you going to do when you get in office? Said, I'm going to have to learn what my job is.
Well, what we got to do next year, everyone, is we got to get out and vote blue no matter who. And we got to take at least 5 people with us to vote and make sure they vote blue no matter who so we save our democracy.
There you go, Ben. There you go. That's a damn good idea. Make sure that you are ready. Because the Republican Party has tried to cross this nation, try to put up every roadblock they can. And if we can't defeat that in court and correct it, we have to be prepared to jump over some fences, baby, jump through some hoops. Let's get ready. Don't let them stop you, because that's their motive. That's their objective, to stop you from voting, baby. So you have to be involved. Do whatever you have to do to be ready.
Keep the orange moron from being Speaker of the House. Vote blue.
Oh, dear God, what a horror. I don't even want to think about it. Now, listen, don't give me
right into a Mad Max ending. Right
yeah, there. Don't give me any nightmares going into general anesthesia, okay? I want a nice little 8-hour nap, and I would just want to wake up and go, what? Yeah. Because we all know that I have really, really vivid dreams, and I'm trying to be in a really, really happy place, and thinking about Speaker of the House, Donald J. Dumbfuck, is not one of those things.
Not one of those things. No. What would make you happy, Robin? What would put a pleasant thought running through your head right now?
Oh, well.
Oh, wait a minute. Right before.
Wait, are you feeling a prophecy coming through, John?
No, just a feeling. Go ahead.
It would be awfully nice if we could finish fundraising for this week at least.
Well, that would be a huge benefit in your happiness factor and your ability to enjoy yourself as much as you possibly
reduction,
be.
Yes,
you're not going to be able to enjoy yourself.
Reduction in my overall stress would be lovely. Stuff.
This is not going to be fun. But we want you to go into it
yeah.
You know, somewhat calm.
So but again, you know, if you ain't yet, there's somebody out there just won the lotto. I know you did. You just scratched off the ticket. Look there. You got $10,000 winner right there. You know where you need to take some of that money, and you need to send it in to Robin.
You know what gets me, though, guys?
I know somebody did.
The guy that won in Virginia claims that he hates Trump.
Well, right, and because, and of course, all the multimillionaire for-profit media pundits are saying, see, the Republicans have figured out a way to win without Trump. Bullshit, because the same people who got behind Glenn Youngkin are the same evangelical maggots who got behind Trump, okay?
There's some of them that are figuring out that they can use the Trumpanzee as without Trump. If they can figure out a way to just, because that's all they have to do, that's what Youngkin proved. Donnie didn't come up there and campaign for his ass. He did it remotely. Arms length. Keep away, brother.
Yeah,
and that's what the rest of them are going to figure out. Yeah, I'm all for you. Just stay over there a little bit there.
What do you guys think about Fox News threatening Trump?
I think it's hilarious, and I hope it doesn't hurt too little.
Yeah, I hope it hurts a whole lot. I hope. Yeah, Fox.
But
Fox
News. It's pretty much time for me to roll out of here. I am exhausted after the day that I've had and after the day yesterday and the driving and the I do need to send out a thank you to Gary. Thank you, Gary, so very much. We are now down to 1805. The core of discovery are on their way back down the Missouri River. It's 1805. So that means we got 305 to finish fundraising for this week. Hopefully we will, and then there's 1500 for all next week. And yes, I know it's I know I'm not going to be on the air, but sadly, I can't convince the power company, the internet company, the water company, all of the cell phone. I can't convince them that I shouldn't have a bill to pay because I'm flat on my back.
And just because Robin goes off the air right now does not mean that those links do not work.
No, they keep work. Working. Yeah.
Yes, and they keep working. So if you're listening post live show, that now's the time you reach down there and hit one of them buttons down there. They're right down there. Y'all
right there on it's right there on the main page. It's real super easy.
I'm putting
easy.
A pointer right on them. You can't miss them right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
hit that button.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you to everybody. We've made it better this evening because we brought in a little over $400, and that's tremendous. And, you know, it's like Jerry Reed saying, long way to go and a short time to get there. We actually listened to that when we got into what I call the 20 minutes of unpleasantness when you get into city traffic. I told Siri to fire up eastbound and down. Only we were northbound, but it still worked.
Every time I come back from someplace and pass into Texas again, I always play Hello Texas from, what's the group's name? Damn it. That would have been fine if I could remember who I'm saying that.
Hey, oddly enough, you
Squirrel.
Squirrel. What? Where? Squirrel?
He's on Urban Cowboy when they come back into Texas.
Oddly enough,
Jimmy Buffett?
No. Siri gave us Amarillo by Morning.
Amarillo by Morning. Up from San Antonio.
The other drawer.
Yeah.
The things that I'm wearing. Or what? Everything I own is just what I
was
have
told
on.
Today that Rhonda liked my singing. Occasionally I'll bust into a couple of verses because you can't sing long on YouTube. They'll shut your ass down.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, so I can get out two verses.
But see, easily. that's the nice thing about our horn string. We can sing. We can sing as much as we want to. Belt one out, John.
Oh, well, let me finish my story here. Because Rhonda, when I was talking to Thomas Morgan today, he told me, by the way, Rhonda is a big fan of yours. She wants me to tell you that she loves your voice when you sing. And I know you know who Rhonda is. There's a song about Rhonda, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Help me, Rhonda. Help me get her out of my... That Rhonda? That song? This guy used to hang with the Beach Boys.
And wait, this is literally that Rhonda?
Yes, this is that Rhonda.
Oh my God!
And yes, this guy, he's lived in the area down in Southern California all his life, and yeah, he dates back with the Beach Boys and before they became hugely popular, and he knows and still hangs around with Rhonda.
She was the girl.
Brushes with always, greatness.
Hence the song, Help Me Rhonda. Help me get her out of my heart. You know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't sing them kind of songs.
Hey, John.
Bye.
That's the black cowboy hat that you was wearing today in your Beer and Bud Friday video. Is that by any chance a Stetson?
No, it's a Resistol. Weather changed down here. You know, when it gets cold, you put the felt on. When it's warm, you keep the straw on. But yeah, most of the time I wear my straw, but it's a little cool out
Resistol's
there.
Resistol's a good hat.
Yeah, Resistol is, I've worn them all my life. Straw or because they do. It's Resistol. I wear it when it rains. I don't go hiding my hat. Shit, that's why you bought a hat. Keep the damn rain out of your head.
Exactly.
You want a good hat that's going to,
You know, that's one of the things.
That's how I trap him, baby. Look at there. He must be a trumper. He's a good old redneck boy. How you doing there? And then I nab him. So.
You reel him in. Yeah, that's on my list somewhere down the road. I need a new pair. I just want a nice pair of pointy-toed, shiny Tony Lamas.
Oh, nice boot.
Oddly enough, everybody's got a different foot shape. Tony Lamas are the only boots that actually fit my foot.
There you go.
I mean, I've tried Lucchese's and
no Kona.
Yeah, no Kona. None of them. The only thing that fits me is a Tony Lama.
Yeah. I had a pair of Lizard Tony Lama. Really nice boots. Soft, just as soft. But you got to be careful with that thing. That's dancing boots. That's not work boots.
I had, and I don't know what happened to them, but I had a pair of sort of beige python skin lowers, deer skin uppers, and they were like butter.
Oh, honey, wait a minute. Let me stuck this long neck in my back pocket. Let's get out on the dance floor, baby. Let's go.
I might have a little two-step in me. I don't know.
Oh, shit, yeah. I'm old, but hell yes. I still got a two-step in my ass, and you play a little swing music, you know, like Shut the Fuck Up, that song. I'm on the dance floor, baby. Let's go. Let's crank that.
Sounds like a fine idea. John Bredevoe, thanks for coming by this evening. I'm so glad I got to talk to you before the balloon goes up. And I'm so glad
when the balloon comes back down, baby.
Yeah, here. And so I think I get released, if everything goes according to plan, I get released on the 14th. And we will Uber back to wherever it is we're living.
Just during this whole thing, Robin, keep one thing in mind.
Yep.
Baby, I love you. This Horn family loves you. We all love you and are waiting on the other side, baby. And sort of like that Jesus moment, you know, see the light and all that stuff. When you come back, we'll all be there. It's like heaven, except you just come back to where you were.
Exactly. A nice little 8-hour nap, and then everything after that is a little just, is some hard work, but some wonderful results.
There you go.
Just don't go to that light, Robin. Stay away from that light. Stay away from the light.
Exactly, because it's a bug zapper.
The bug zapper, it's going to grab your ass.
Yeah, I certainly will. And my heart absolutely swells with all the love and acceptance and support that I've received. It's just so damn beautiful. It really, really is. And I can't adequately put words.
It all comes from the heart, baby. Suck it up. We love you.
I'll take all I can get. Right. Thank you, John Bredevoe. Thank you, everybody who jumped in on the Friday on the Front Porch conversation. Thank you, Sparky. For once again, a fabulous moderating job. Thanks to everybody who jumped in on the fundraising this evening. Thanks to our a la carte contributors and our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much indeed. It's how we've managed to keep this going as long as we have. It couldn't happen without you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room, and thank you to Sparky in the old at the seat of honor around the extraordinary, ordinary round table in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler elves. Hey, somebody tell Steve from Georgistan I missed talking to him this evening. Kind of wanted to hear his voice this evening before everything happens. But again, I'll try to be back on Monday, if at all humanly possible. One last show before I take that 8-hour nap. Best nap of my life is what I'm being told it'll be. Thank you to our new news ninjas, Gene, and you have been right there for so very long. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on.live. You make so much of this so doable, and I'm so appreciative. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be and is, in fact, a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. If you've done it before, do it again until they sign on as co-sponsors of H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act, because, in fact, it does mean the world to Appalachia. And, you know, even sitting here in a hotel in Birmingham, I'm still in coal country. I'm still in Appalachia. The AIC Act doesn't affect what goes on coal-wise in Alabama. But nonetheless, this place is, this state has been coal tortured too. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine, get your booster if you've already been vaccinated. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Take it with you everywhere you go. Don't count on it to be there when you need it. It might not be. Wear your mask. Maintain your social distance. And of course, if somebody comes towards you burbling all about how,
friend, if you give me some money, I'll enter you into a lottery to win a baseball that I probably signed, you know, while I was sitting down at Mar-a-Lardass, but you're silly enough to believe I did it at a Braves game.
Avoid that nitwit Nero like the plague. Because, oh my God, he is. My love goes to you all. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.